The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your
Rogaine. Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine.
Yeah. And Andy. And Andy?
Get the park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know what?
Ooh, let the dogs out.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
Hey, 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 it's Albert Hainsworth. And it's PFW in Progress. All right.
So you're on the record calling him fat.
No, I never said that. I said, hey, Albert Hainsworth.
But he's not here.
All right. We got a big show coming up. Welcome, everybody. I feel like this is like our first in-season show.
I feel like we've never left the season.
No, this is new now. We got real stuff, real players here outside running around on the practice field. Today was the first practice. These guys just got back. They're blogging. They're tweeting. And we're going to be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And, of course, if you woke up this morning, the first news you heard having to do with the Patriots was the trade, which isn't official yet. Just have to make, you know, be clear about that.
Hey, guess who's following me on Twitter now?
Albert Hainsworth.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Big Albert Hay is his...
Wow. So
hey, hey, hey!
But, you know...
Is he following me?
Fifth round pick.
I'm jealous.
Although it says not Albert Hainsworth, give me the money, terror of the NFL, blood, Boston.
2013 fifth round pick for Albert Hainsworth from the Washington Redskins. Not officially done yet, according to Bill Belichick, but
he talked about it.
But yeah, he actually said they were working on it, which is more than he usually does.
Means more to me than any release they could send out. If he talked about it and he brought up calling Mike Shanahan and the deal, it's done.
Right. So we're going to talk about that, what that means, what that could mean, because we know that there's a couple different Albert Hainsworths out there. There's the Albert Hainsworth that was undeniably one of the best defensive players in the league when he was with the Titans. And then there's the Albert Hainsworth who left the Titans, went to Washington, and was nothing but a malcontent. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, but just not someone who...
That relationship never got off to a good start.
It didn't seem that football was very important to him. Because if it was, you adapt. You try to work with your coach. And, you know, Mike Shanahan, he's a strict guy, but he never gave his coach a chance. And I think that there, Shanahan might have had a little bit to do. I think he might have mishandled that a little bit, you know, with the continued conditioning runs and just really publicly humiliating the guy.
Two egos clashed there, big time.
So that was not a marriage that was going to work. And
I'm
as a result,
the real time
the Patriots get Albert Hainsworth. He's 30 years old. Is that correct? I think he's 30. You know, he's got some tread left on the tires, I would imagine. And this is a guy, he's not a sack guy. So if you think he's going to come in here and be that pass rusher that, you know, we're still looking for, I think we're still looking for that guy.
That's correct, he is 30.
But this is a guy who, you know, because of his strength on the inside, puts pressure on the quarterback, makes that quarterback, you know, gives them a couple seconds less to decide what to do with the ball, and that's exactly what the Patriots needed. So we'll see as to when he can report. I think that's as soon as possible, but I don't think he can be on the field. Well, this is a transfer of a contract, so maybe
it's a trade. Yeah,
maybe he can be on the field right away.
Friday at 4, I believe. Traded players can be on the field.
Friday at 4. Okay,
so official.
So tomorrow, assuming he gets here.
I also believe, by the way, did you not say it yet?
What?
That's when Logan Mankins can be on the field.
I didn't say that yet.
That
you think Friday at 4?
I think so.
Could you get a change in that?
I'm looking over the.
Okay.
We would be wrong.
Yeah.
If a pre-existing contract contains a measuring date related to salary, expressed by solely
on the air.
No, I'm just trying to. Well, it's no worse than what you've done on the air before.
Oh, here we go. So two wrongs make a right?
No.
Got his dander up.
No, right. And this is one of the things. And
well, he can't have dandruff.
One of the things that Bill Belichick mentioned today at his press conference with that is a lot of these rules, the new rules pertaining to player contracts, practice rules, a lot of these things are changing, quote, by the hour. So the original.
And it's not necessarily they're changing. They're being clarified. You know,
well,
the
some
rules,
of, but I think some of them are changing, flat out changing.
Well, because he did say changing and clarified.
Right.
Well, I think the interpretation of them is changing.
I think what's happening is people are putting their hands up saying, what about this? And then the people that are, the powers that be are saying, that's a good point. We'll get back to you on
yeah.
that.
Well, the problem is, how many coaches had a lot of input in these rules? They didn't.
None.
It was lawyers, owners, people like that. Suits.
Like Andy likes to say, when you have non-football people making football decisions, it tends to get messy, and I think that's what's happening. From the last information that we got on the field, the players that technically were not under contract, so they sign as free agents, even if they're your own free agents, or in Mankins and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis also falls in this category, they were served tenders. So they're going to be, for Mankins, he signed his franchise tender. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is a restricted free agent tender. Technically, those contracts do not take hold until the start of the new league year.
Right.
Now, the start of the new league year is going to be August 4th at the last we heard. Perhaps they'll make an adjustment for that, as Andy said, and get that up to speed by 4 p.m. on Friday.
Because that's ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous.
Logan Mankins can't practice. Is Thursday, I think, is the 4th?
I think
Thursday?
It's totally ridiculous that football business is being done before the start of the new league year.
And
but that's, the horse is out of the barn there. Yeah. There's nothing
you
can do about it.
And you can't, August 4th is literally 1 week before the first preseason
game.
Stupid.
Right.
Any day that you can pick up over that is
all
really
2011 contracts signed on or after July 26 become effective 4:01 p.m. August 4th.
Yeah, so maybe not. I just don't understand how you tendered them in February, but yet they're considered to not have had anything done before the lockout, so they have to wait like anybody else.
Oh yeah, it's even more ridiculous in that case, the tenders, because those have basically been Patriots' property. For lack of a better word, they've been under control of the Patriots since February. Because they offered those tenders, but even Sammy Morris, who re-signed, he just re-signed now. There's no reason for him to have to wait longer than anybody else. I just think this is one of those things. Everybody rushed to get this back together. They're still working out the details. I think they would have been better served to let the ink dry and have everybody absorb all the new rules and the wrinkles, and then get back to football business. And if that meant missing a week of preseason, that's an unfortunate byproduct of getting things better, because they all agree.
This is chaos.
Everybody agrees that it's better. The new CBA is there's elements on both sides that people are happy with and unhappy with, which tends to make for a good deal. So in order to make something better, sometimes you have to lose a few, what's the old?
One step back for two steps forward?
Isn't there like
bath
a war
with the
cliche,
baby water?
Whatever. I don't want to butcher. I don't want to butcher a cliche like Andy will. So I'll just go on.
I beat you to it.
But maybe there's
bad money after good, as you always like to
maybe
say.
Maybe there'll be an adjustment to that. And
Elk
Mankins and Green Ellis and Sammy Morris will be out there maybe tomorrow afternoon, hopefully.
Right.
Because I don't think it serves anybody any good
but
to have to
tomorrow
wait.
If it's the same as this today, tomorrow afternoon's practice starts at 2:30. They can't be out there until 4:00.
It's a good point.
So probably Saturday.
Fair point by you. But
maybe next Thursday. It's ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous that Sammy Morris, Logan Mankins, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis were not on the field today.
All right. The other news that is not official yet, but Pro Football Talk is reporting, is that the Patriots have released Marcus Stroud. And, Paul, you said that makes sense.
Well, it was the first thing I thought of when I heard about Haynesworth, because I know that Haynesworth doesn't want to play nose tackle. Now, unless you're going to play a strict 4-3 to get those guys on the field together, he's going to man a defensive end spot, a 5 technique, as our old buddy from NFL Network, Burt Breer, would say.
Right.
The 5 technique. And that's, you know, kind of where we penciled in Stroud. Now, you wouldn't have to cut him. You can have depth.
Yeah, I just assumed they would rotate.
I heard his shoulder never recovered.
But now, and there are some conflicting reports out there now that are saying, one of my Twitter followers mentioned that some people are saying it's injury related and that perhaps he could be back. But
right.
I don't know. I'm just going by Pro Football Talk, not anything that we've received officially.
Now, as far as Haynesworth, assuming he comes and assuming he wants to play, do you think he'd be situational where he would come in on third down, or would he be a first down player?
I
think he can be both, but I mean, you're spending a lot of money on a situational guy. You just got rid of one in Tully Bantakane. So if you're going to bring in a guy like that, you let him play
basically whatever
every
he wants
down.
To play, because if he doesn't want it, we won't do it.
I certainly would expect him to be an every down player,
but in lieu of a new contract, If they just honor the current contract, the Patriots would be on the hook for a little over $5 million if he stays on the roster.
That was the report,
That's according to Adam Schefter, I believe, is the one who broke this, right?
Yes. Okay.
He's a friend of the show. We'll give him the
I was the second one to break it. So I lost my virginity again.
So yesterday, we were getting all kinds of ass.
You didn't.
Yesterday, we were getting all kinds of ass PFWs and emails about, the Patriots are being left behind. They're not making any moves. We need to do something. I want we'll hear from our listeners and emailers in a moment, but does this satisfy people? Is this something along the path of what you were thinking about, or is it not enough and too big of a risk? It'll be interesting to hear what people say.
What risk?
I think it's all of the above, Fred.
All of the above.
I think it's all of the above. I think people are excited about it. They know it's a risk.
Yeah.
You want to, see how they're going to use him,
right,
whether or not they change the defense to accommodate it, or
to
whether
me,
they try to put him at end or whatever. I don't know.
It's to me, the only downside with this could come if he does start contributing and then he starts to act up in the middle of the season. Now he's disrupted kind of a flow that you've developed. To me, that would be worse than if they just decide, this guy's not going to do it.
Yeah.
They just cut.
I agree. That's the only. I don't think there's any risk, other than for 4 or 5 weeks he's a key part of your defense and then decides, I've had enough of this.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you thought this guy was helping you, and now you have to cut him and you're without him.
Right.
Because you're right. It's a fifth round pick. Doesn't work. It's not that big a deal. If he acts up and just doesn't want to play football anymore, you cut him before he even makes any of that five whatever million. This year, there's no risk involved there, but you do run the risk that at some point during the regular season, he decides he doesn't want to play anymore.
And if Marcus Stroud is gone because of the signing, you've kind of hinted.
Yeah, and again, we want to reiterate that there are some reports out there that indicate Stroud is dealing with some sort of injury problem, although in the 17 interviews that he did during the course of the offseason here, I don't think that came up in any of them, did it?
That felt like a shot.
Well, he did a lot of interviews for a guy who never appeared in a game for the Patriots.
Didn't just not appear in a game. He never appeared with the Patriots.
Paul channeling his inner Belichick.
Had a lot to say.
He signed. He signed right before the lockout started.
I already
started.
Tweeted it.
He was never a Patriot, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stroud, according to Stripper, Stroud got like $75,000 to sign before the lockout.
Oh, so.
It's not much.
You can definitely.
I'll take it. Well, yeah.
Wait, yes. So now we're just throwing around three times our salaries like it's nothing.
Willy-nilly.
That's the collective salary cap of this show.
You want me to go over a few notes that I'm putting in the blog now, but from practice? Do we do that on the show?
Sure.
Or do we go straight to just big?
No, the day started out with Bill Belichick's press conference. It was supposed to be at 9, didn't really get going until about 9:45. He's busy.
No surprise there.
Things are busy. Phones are ringing.
No, literally, he was on the phone.
Yeah.
Stacey James, the media relations director, actually said, he's on the phone, so.
Like Andy said, actually did, admit that there's a deal in the works for.
Brought it up.
Haynesworth.
I'm glad he did.
Would not go.
But I'm
surprised.
Said
he spoke with Mike Shanahan last night about Albert Haynesworth.
Yep. Yeah, I'm surprised.
I think Shanahan was in the tanning booth when he spoke
from
with Bill.
From that point on.
Shanahan.
From that point on, it was status quo for Bill Belichick. So I'll let you know when things are official.
Other than that, not much to talk about yet. Just, you know, mentioning how things are changing with the rules, and there's just so many balls up in the air right now. I said ball, so Andy's giggling over there. And then we went
I let it slip when you said, well, so we'll see if Haynesworth comes.
So then we went out to practice, really, which is a walkthrough.
Now, it's a sickness.
To clarify that, all teams are not – any team that's open camp, they're not allowed to have any padded practice for those first 2 days. So,
right.
Correct.
These practices today and tomorrow will all be walkthroughs. And they're not allowed to wear helmets either, right?
Right. Nope.
So just,
they did have jerseys on.
They
so
did
we
have
could
jerseys.
Tell who
was
who.
Could,
we could take attendance.
Who.
Yeah.
Sort of.
And they did put out a roster.
Yeah. Yep. Which
so
is nice.
If you, those of you who are interested in numbers, you know, let us know. We'll, your favorite newcomer, we'll let you know what number he is.
Josh Barrett finally got a jersey. It's 45.
Right.
He had the empty locker with the nameplate with just his name on it.
A lot of people.
The
in
key to the pass rush, Markell Carter, 49, which means no chance.
It means Vince Red.
Who wasn't there that was supposed to be there?
Well, it's a good,
well, other than
it's a good question. Why don't you give the attendance, Andy, and then we'll speculate as to
okay.
who we think may or
not
may.
There. There were 14 players on the roster distributed by the PR department that did not appear on the field. Of that list, 7. Why are you looking at me funny?
Why are we getting the NPR version?
Okay, I won't be serious for a minute. 7 rookies that are unsigned at this point. Nate Solder, Rossi Dowling, Shane Vereen, Stephen Ridley, who may actually be signed but wasn't
according
out there yet.
According to his Twitter.
Yeah. Ryan Mallett, so I didn't get to see the Cannon. I didn't get to see Marcus Cannon either because he's not out there. See what I did there, a radio guy. Malcolm Williams. And then veterans that were not out there. Another 7 players. Kyle Arrington, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, Logan Mankins, Nick Kasher, Algie Crumpler, reportedly still dealing with a shoulder issue. Myron Pryor and Stroud, who is reportedly or unreportedly traded or hurt or something.
Right.
And Sammy Morris, who's not actually on the roster because that is not an official re-signing despite the tweets from his agent.
Right. And then the PR was nice enough to also list the unsigned free agents.
Yes. From last year.
From
last
year.
The unrestricted free agents they had going into the offseason.
The Matt Light list.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
But so technically, if you count Sammy Morris, there's 15 guys that weren't in uniform now.
Also counting Stroud.
Right. The 7 draft picks are obvious that Andy mentioned. So from there, you're dealing with we kind of know why Mankins and Green Ellis weren't out there. They're tendered guys, as we mentioned. Sammy Morris signed a 1-year extension according to reports.
According to his agent.
So that's 3 guys that we know why they weren't on the field based on the rules as we know them now. Now, that could change. The other guys, you know, Kyle and Crumpler, Andy mentioned, and obviously we talked about Stroud. I don't know the whereabouts of Kyle Arrington. Was he an exclusive rights guy, Andy? So does that technically make him one of those tender guys?
I didn't.
He was only a second-year guy last
which
year,
makes
so
it,
he would have been
an exclusive rights guy.
Probably.
Maybe he was a tender?
He might have been working out with a D-lineman,
so maybe
just didn't notice
and
him.
I think he did get the tender.
Good one.
So if he's a tender, that would mean there's a
he
reason
has to
why.
A tender player.
That might
be
account
reason.
For why
now
he's
that's
out
really
there.
Stupid.
Yeah.
The name of it is exclusive rights.
I'm just wondering
and yet
about
he can't
the technicality.
Go on your practice now.
What I'm wondering about is the technicality of an actual contract that doesn't really, you know, begin until the official start of the league.
What
year.
They should have done, and I know the owners wouldn't have agreed to it because they would have lost some money, but they should have waited a week. Let teams figure out what all these rules are. Let them get their house in order as far as who they wanted to sign, who they didn't. Let the free agency period happen and not start camp until next week. Yes, you would have sacrificed the first preseason game, but who the hell cares? Really?
Mm-hmm. The owners?
That's what I said. I said, other than the owners, who the hell cares?
Yeah, they have a big voice in this.
Well, and then part of it, too, I think, came
but, I mean,
into
you're,
it
you're,
is that
you're,
it was
you're
inequitable.
Making this such a mess to start the season.
I agree with Eric. I think that, you know, it's one of those things you take the loss for the greater good. And I think your product would have been better. Your organization would have been better. It would have been better for all served. Yeah, they would have lost money. I think all they should have done, I think there was some inequity because some teams, you know, the home teams lost more than the, you know, the road team or whatever.
Right.
I think you just get together and you pool your preseason money.
Right. It's
for,
not like there's
for
not enough money.
2011 only. I mean, not
right.
something that you do forever. You just make sure that no one gets left out. If you, you know, If Ralph Wilson lost the home game, you know, well, that's okay. We're going to take care of you, Ralph. You're going to get just as much as Jerry Jones, who didn't lose a home game. You know, one-time-only thing. Yeah. I think there was something that could have been done to avoid this mess.
And New England would have fallen into that category because we opened at home against the Jaguars. But
right.
I think, like, for the greater good, that's a good way to put it, Paul. It would have just made the start of this. Everyone needed to just catch their breath, figure out what's going on. Now it just feels like it's just a sprint to the end of the season. I mean, I don't know. I don't like the way this is starting out.
And
I'm sorry.
Okay.
It doesn't
Eric not to, happy.
Eric, just for the record, Eric not happy.
Web Radio at
Patriots. I love the way you say that.
Dynasty door is closed.
Web Radio at Patriots.com is the email. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline.
Before you move on,
just go to the Ace Ticket hotline.
Just to finish up with the attendance that Andy did.
Yeah.
An interesting guy is Nick Kazier not being out there. You know, he's basically the only one of these guys that we don't have really any. Well, Myron Pryor, I guess, too. We didn't know why he wasn't out there, but
right.
Nick Kazier
was hurt all season.
You know, there was reports that, you know, possibly he could be a cap casualty. You know, he's coming off back surgery. Maybe that's not, you know, up to speed. There's a lot of different reasons why, he might not be out there. And he could potentially be an important guy,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get Light back here and you're not quite ready with Nate Solder, who's the other tackle?
Right.
You know, you have Vollmer, and if Solder's not ready, who's your other tackle?
Right.
Is it Mark Lavoie?
Right.
Do you go out and get somebody? That, to me, is a potential thing to keep an eye on as these next few days unfold.
The other thing we'll talk about today is, you know, the number of big signings that have already happened.
Ridiculous money being thrown around.
Yeah, and still
guaranteed
some big names still out there. So there's more to come. The Colts signed Vinatieri for a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
So.
Re-signed.
Too bad. All right. Let's.
Why
go
is
the,
that too bad?
I don't know.
You wanted him to come back here?
We could use a kicker.
Well, I wanted him to come back and retire.
Oh.
Well, he will eventually when he's done, when he's not hitting dead nuts field goals.
He didn't get a lot of money, though, did he? I mean, I know they made a big deal of the Olindo Mare contract. He got like $4 million a year or something.
Isn't
he didn't. He was the only one yesterday who didn't get
big
money.
Isn't he close to the point where he's played more for the Colts than for New England?
I don't think so.
How long
played
was he
9
here?
Years for the Patriots, right?
Yeah. And how long has he been?
7, 8, 9.
And it's been 6 years since he left here?
Right.
Oh, 10 years for the Patriots, right? 96 to 05?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
10 years?
Yeah.
All right. Well, but if he completes this deal, he'll be almost 50-50.
Yeah, and assuming he wins two more Super Bowls and hits big kicks for them, then
right.
it'll be balanced.
Yeah,
that's right.
Maybe.
I mean,
it's not out of the question.
Larry from Miami's on the line right now. Hey, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hey, guys. It's been a while. How y'all doing?
Good.
Tremendous. Camp's back, baby.
Andy's wearing shorts.
I know. Football is back. Now, I just wanted to call in and I'm just kind of confused on what we're signing and trading for right now. Because right now, you know, being down here in Miami, hearing about Alshon Jeffery trying to go to for the Jets for less money, feeling like a LeBron again, but for football. But I was hoping that they would have countered that, you know, by signing Sidney White, you know, Rice, or somebody like that, you know, big money receiver, you know, just in case that happened. But,
well,
I
you
don't.
Know, you mentioned Sidney Rice, and the first word was Minnesota wasn't going to let him go. But apparently, you know, Pete Carroll from the Seahawks worked really hard. He brought in Tavares Jackson, and then the next, you know, move number two was getting Rice. So I don't think the Patriots would have paid that type of money for Rice.
I think it's amazing that he signed Tavares Jackson and Sidney Rice still went there.
Yeah,
I like Tavares Jackson as much as anyone, but he's not the Brady if you're Moss. He's
right.
not the guy that makes you into a superstar.
Right. So, but are you saying, Larry, that you know, you would have preferred, instead of Albert Haynesworth, them going after Rice?
Well, I guess I don't know if it's Bill's philosophy is by going to the, you know, in our Super Bowl years of playing defense and, you know, scoring at least 28 points and just play defense. But I don't know. If they can trade Albert Haynesworth, a draft pick, like a first rounder, a second rounder, to get Tamba Ali, that'd be great.
I would love to get Tamba Ali.
I'm right there with you. Haynesworth and Ali on the edge.
Good. Look, I'm all for making the defense better, but you know, I think a better defense helps your offense too. As good as the Patriots' offense is, it would have been even better last year if the defense, you know, helped them out more and got off the field on third down and gave them more opportunities. So, you know, I think that by making the defense better, you're helping your offense on this team. So I like this pick. I think there's some more deals to come. I don't think this is it for the Patriots. I don't know if, you know, they'll be signing Asamoah, but I think that they're going to be bringing in some notable talent before this is all said and done. I wouldn't give up yet.
Just a hypothetical, if they do, that means, you know, the two outside receivers are gone, all they're going to do is try to double the tight ends and the slot guys, and then where would Brady go?
What do you mean if the two outside receivers are gone?
Like, if they get, you know, have Revis on one side and you have Revis on the other.
Well, you know, that's assuming, you know, and I think that, you know, around here, people aren't convinced that Asamoah is up to that elite status as a cornerback. I mean, are we sure that he's that type of shutdown corner that, you know, the Patriots could never challenge him? That wouldn't.
Well, I don't put anybody into that category that you can't challenge.
He's pretty decent.
But I think he is. I agree with Larry.
Okay.
I think he's a great player. I think he's on par with maybe not quite as good as Revis. But I might be biased because I see Revis twice a year, every year. I've seen
and everybody
Asamoah
says
once.
He's great, Fred. Some people have watched him more often than we have,
right,
and they say he's great. I put Revis higher simply because of the eyeball test. We see that firsthand.
Yeah, when I saw Revis play against the Patriots, I thought he was better than Asamoah. But Andy makes a good point. I mean, everybody is in agreement that this guy...
Somebody watches Raiders games.
If he's not the best, he's the second best.
And it's hard, you know, then you get the... Like the Champ Bailey situation where they're not throwing to him, so you don't really get to see him defending or making plays. And when we saw him in 08, it was that rain-washed game when Castle had a
The whole Raider team
day,
had
and the whole Raider
up.
Team had given
Thanks
up at that
Thanks for the call,
point,
Larry.
So.
Ian Rappaport, by the way, has said he confirmed the Stroud release and said that he spoke to him. Spoke to Stroud. So,
Well, yeah, so on his way out, he did another interview.
How were you able to confirm Stroud's release? Someone asked Rappaport. Inside source or Stroud himself? And he retweeted Stroud himself.
Well, he talked to the Herald, I think, 12 of those 17 times this offseason.
Wow, the animosity towards Marcus Stroud in his short time here. Unbelievable.
Well, but you shouldn't be giving interviews when you're not even really on the team.
But to Larry's point.
Just in the future, if we have $75,000 laying around, I think PFW can do something.
Okay. Yeah, we could split that.
To Larry's point, if the Jets did sign Asamoah, I mean, do they become just a team that you just can't score on?
No, one's that good.
Well,
it's too hard.
They were pretty much that good last year.
Well, but I don't think they were. I think they were very good against the Patriots. But they didn't have a great, great year defense. They were certainly down from the year before. You guys all said that all year, and I agree.
Well, they didn't have the pass rush.
Down from the year before, don't you think?
Didn't we kill them in December?
Yeah, we scored 45 points
on that defense
them.
That was close to you can't score.
No,
well,
that's a good point.
You can score on anybody. Right. I think it's easier to me to move the football than it is to stop the other team from moving it in the NFL. That's not an Andyism. Don't do that.
I'm just checking.
Don't do that.
Just seeing if I want to make fun of anything.
Easier to lose than it is to win. It wasn't an Andyism.
If you score more
points
than your
opponent. I think it's easier to move the ball on offense than it is to stop the other team from doing so in the NFL. I think most teams, especially if you have a quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, listen, it's hard to do anything. If you have a reasonable quarterback, the way the NFL is set up now, I think it's geared for the offense. And I know it's a cliche, but I agree with the cliche. I think it's easier to pass the ball and move it on offense than it is to stop anybody, even if you have that good a tandem at corner. Now, it certainly makes them much more formidable to have another shutdown guy on the other side and to do exactly what Larry suggested. You take a bunch of linebackers and safeties and extra defensive backs. You double Gronkowski and Hernandez inside. You make sure you're on Danny Woodhead the way they did in the playoff game and don't allow him to get loose, and you have two guys on the outside that you know can handle one-on-one anybody you put on the outside.
So with the current Patriots personnel, what's your blueprint to beat the Jets' defense? Do you have to run the ball in short passes and nickel and dime your way down until you get to the
right
zone?
Well, I think you have to get the tight ends involved.
Definitely have to get the tight ends involved.
Especially play action, suck the linebackers up, and boom, G-force down the middle, touchdown.
Yeah, you got to have the threat of a running game.
And oh, by the way,
do the things in the passing game.
Gets kind of lost in the Patriots' recent losses to New York. Not allow 28 points to a bad offense.
Yeah.
You know, just because the Patriots offense got shut down, and it has, you know, all the cliches about the Moss thing, you know, in the Meadowlands week, the Patriots offense has not played well generally against New York, with the exception of the Monday night game last December. But the Jets offense seems to play far better against the Patriots than it does anybody else. Is that unfair to say?
No, it's not.
I mean, you can shut them down and win, you know, 17-14, too.
Right.
That's allowed.
Right.
You know, like when we used to win Super Bowls?
Right.
You can win like that.
Paul. Paul's got his shorts on today.
We all have shorts on today.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Bad Kevin, are you going to be making plates? Okay, shortly.
It's 12:30. Isn't that when they open?
I got here.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Mully is in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mully.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Is that short for mullet?
No, I've actually written in a couple times, Mully from PA, but just wanted to call in.
Doesn't tell me what it's short for. What does Mully mean?
It's short for my last name.
Which is? Why are you so secretive? Don't be like Eric. Just tell us.
Mulligatawny.
It's Mallard, French word for duck, actually.
Mallard.
Like the guy on... Fred's telling people how to pronounce their name. My God.
Yeah. My dad's an immigrant from France. Actually,
are you related to Keith? Or was that
no,
Millard?
That's Millard.
I am not.
The guy on NCIS, isn't his last name Ducky?
Ducky.
He's Millard,
correct.
Right? All right.
We'll stop now.
Thanks for the call, Mom.
We'll stop now.
I just want to say, first of all, I'm actually like this Albert Haynesworth move. I mean, it's a pretty low-risk, high-reward thing.
Word.
But I actually want to talk Asamoah because I have been... I was intrigued by him about a year or two ago, and I started researching and looking into him. No one really paid much attention to him. And the difference between him and Revis is that Revis is a guy that when he lines up against the receiver, he falls back and allows the receiver to make a move, and then he jumps on it. Asamoah is the type of guy that when he lines up at the line of scrimmage, he... changes the route of the receiver. He's much more physical than Revis at the line of scrimmage, and he changes the route of the receiver, and the quarterback really just doesn't know what to do. He's very tight, and he can change the route, and I think that's how they're different. They're shutdown corners, undeniably. I mean, the numbers don't lie.
So you think he is very, very good, not overrated?
No, not at all. I think him and Revis, it's like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. They're both, I think, in my eyes, they're both at the same level, but you can pick and choose based on preference.
And that's probably a really good analogy.
Asamoah is 6'2", 210, pretty big for a corner.
Well, yeah. He definitely plays very physically. I know that from just the clips that we've seen.
Didn't he start out as a safety at Stanford?
I'm not exactly sure.
If he goes to the Jets, Mr. Kraft's going to have to grease the refs.
I played at Cal.
Keep it fair.
I mean, Cal. I was this
same
close.
Area. I meant the area. Because that's why I also thought it's funny. There were rumors San Francisco was in the mix.
Well, yeah, that's still.
Hello, someday, leave the area.
And they officially released.
What a homeboy. Paying him all that money. Why would
San
he leave?
San Francisco officially released Nate Clements today.
And you could go to the Jets?
Saving $15 million in cap space. I'm just going to keep on talking.
They also signed Ray Edwards. No. Ray Charles, no. They signed a Ray for some good money.
Not our intern, Ray.
Georgia?
No.
What?
Ray Charles.
Oh.
He really has never heard of any song.
I have Ray Charles
86.
On my iPod, all of it.
All
love
of it?
Ray Charles.
You have every single Ray Charles song ever created.
Ish.
Such a moron.
You need to thank me because I'm updating all your stupid comments.
Thanks for the
for
call, Mully. That was a great
post.
Analysis.
That was a good call.
Lockout's over, by the way. 70 something comments proving.
Because that's first of all, we don't get a chance to see Nnamdi Asamoah that much, so it is interesting to hear from someone, you know, right or wrong, someone's opinion of him who has done some work.
His analysis of Revis was right on, so I figured, okay, I'll keep listening.
But you have that, and you also have. You know, I thought the analogy between Manning and Brady, I mean, that's really good. They're both very, very good at what they do, and they do things a little bit differently. Right. I don't think that you can, I mean, you can make comparisons between Brady and Manning, I think, intellectually, from a cerebral approach to the game and their preparation and film study and all that stuff. But I think they play the game in a lot, a lot of times in much, much different ways. So I think the way he described the way Rivas and Asamoah go about their business, I that makes sense to me. I don't know enough about Asamoah to be able to definitively say that that scouting report on him is accurate. But I know that's what, like Andy said, that's what the NFL believes that he is. A lot of the NFL believes he is the best cornerback in football.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brad in Maryland's on the phone. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the real world.
Yeah.
And now that we have our defensive problem solved, let's talk offense.
What do you got?
I know, Brad. We can't score, right? I'll check out. I'll let you talk to the guys on this one.
We still don't have our defensive problem solved, though.
Yeah,
Brad.
I'd still like somebody to at least line up.
We still need some
linebacker.
Linebackers who can actually perform at an NFL level.
I do believe that, you know, having Haynesworth in front of you can help you, but you still have to be competitive. You have to be at an NFL level, and I'm not sure Markell Carter would be. And right now, the only two guys that have any, well, three guys that are somewhat proven are Moore, Ninkovich, and Cunningham. That's not exactly the old three for two when you had McGinnis, Vrabel, Colvin,
right?
Well, it's interesting how one signing can run the gamut, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, just from reading the comments that came into our blog, some people are dead excited. Some people hate the move.
Yeah.
No, that's what I mean.
Really, I hadn't seen anybody that didn't like the move.
Well, I have a couple.
I haven't. I'm not on the computer this morning because I don't like it anywhere near as much as you guys do, but I don't see any way to hate it because I just don't see the really downside.
Right, and that's my feeling, is if we can pull the hat trick of malcontents becoming all-stars one more time, why not try it? If it's a fifth-round draft pick 2 years from now, you know, Bill will have traded that pick three times by now anyway, by then anyway. So.
Right.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Moss in this. The immaturity, the on-the-field sulking, where they can be an all-pro or they can literally just pack it in and lay down in the case of Haynesworth.
You know, neither guy was a guy like, the Patriots went after the guy. The opportunity was there, and they took advantage of it.
And it's also interesting. Remember Moss, we talked about a year in advance that there was some inkling that maybe there'd be some interest.
Yep.
Finally happened. Haynesworth, we talked about last
year. That's right. We did.
There was maybe some inkling that he could come to New England.
We did.
Later on, it finally happened.
And, you know, mention Floyd Reese. You know, Floyd Reese is on the Patriots staff, and he's the guy that drafted
And Schwartzy got the best out of him, and Schwartzy is a disciple of Belichick. Man, he got that little And Bill respects Schwartzy as much as anyone. You know, smartest guys he's ever worked
with. I do want to
Are you going to be a wet blanket?
A little bit.
Oh, boy.
He didn't just quit in Washington. He quit in Tennessee, too. He was a bad guy in Tennessee, too.
Right.
Well, Randy Moss was a bad guy in Minnesota in Oakland.
I'm just going to talk about this case just singularly, just Albert Haynesworth. I'm not going to compare him to anybody else.
Right, but when he packs it in, he's a nobody. When he doesn't, he's pretty
good. But is he Randy Moss? Is he Corey Dillon in 04? That's why I don't like it as much as everybody else.
I mean,
I don't think the upside is anywhere near as high as everybody else.
He's a defensive lineman and a defensive tackle in particular, so you can't be Randy Moss. You can't be Corey Dillon because you're not going to have 20 touchdowns. But you know what? He can be Vince Wilfork, I think.
Yeah,
when he wants to be.
And that's pretty good.
And that's pretty damn good.
And that's damn good, and that's a good reason to make the move. There is no downside to me except for the one that Fred sort of painted a while back, and I agree. No brainer, you do it.
You cut him off on Ring Road, he gets out and beats the piss out of
you. Well, I mean, there is two
downsides.
That'd
be a personal downside.
It's been, when did Dillon leave?
08?
07. 04, 05, 06. So, yeah, 06. He left after the 06 season, and I felt pretty comfortable in the Patriots locker room ever since. That I can no longer say that anymore. Go ahead, Brad.
Who invited you?
I didn't mean to start you off on such a bland topic.
You did get us going. That was well done, Brad. Which, according to other listeners, is rare for you.
Hey, you know, they have their moments, too. Two things. First of all, I had sent one of you an email regarding the wide receiver situation.
Which one of us?
Which one of you? Paulie.
Oh, okay. I wasn't good enough to be on that email?
Well, I don't know your email address.
I like it that way.
I don't bug Paul.
It's behind the red ropes at Patriots.com.
Okay, so go.
Anyway, here are two names that I threw out because I've been bantering Malcolm Floyd as an offset to Sidney Rice, and now Sidney's gone, so we don't have to worry about that. But I can't.
Freddie, your boy got him, huh?
Pardon?
Yeah, Pete Carroll.
Can you stop interrupting, Brad?
Shut up.
two other names I came up with that I feel are more in Bill's bargain basement pickup category that I still feel would be pretty good pickups for us to have as a serviceable 27-year-old wide receiver. And that is James Jones out of Green Bay and Jacoby Jones out of Houston.
I like Jacoby Jones, but not
he just resigned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
They liked him off the list. James Jones dropped a ton of passes, no?
Yeah. Green Inconsistent.
Bay? Yeah, I don't want another one of
Beat
those.
Beat us.
Well, no, Jacoby
I have Brandon Tate.
Yeah, Jacoby Jones was who I was hoping for because he's also a very good punt and kick returner. So
yeah, keep hoping. I believe he's off the open
He's
market.
Off the list.
You know, not officially because
right,
because
it can't be official until
interesting
next week.
But. All right, Brad.
I'm a Floyd guy. I wouldn't mind seeing Floyd here.
Brad,
I wouldn't want to pay a lot.
Brad has been big. He's still
like
very high on wide receivers. That's a very high priority for Brad. And listen, maybe it is. I don't think it's as big a need as a lot of other people do.
When Taylor Price has 45 catches, you'll all be fine.
But Willie, you know, that's fine with me. I don't really think the offense is going to be a problem unless, and this is a big if.
They play the Jets every week.
No, the offensive line just doesn't do it. Just doesn't gel.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Sure. And that's not necessarily something that, you know, has a 5% chance of happening. Mm-hmm. You're possibly changing your left tackle.
There's a lot of turnover.
There's a chance.
Chris writes in and said, I laughed out loud alone in my living room with my dog as the only witness when I heard about Haynesworth. I'm not proud of being a hater, but this guy had one pretty good reason out of six, received pretty good season out of six, received a $100 million contract, and then made everyone on that coaching staff miserable. I hope this move makes the front seven more formidable and his attitude is much better, but there is a good chance he's still a dog. So
at the core, there's no doubt in my mind he's still a dog.
Yeah, this is the same guy, remember, who stomped on an opponent's head.
I'm okay.
It's hard to change that.
But that doesn't mean you can't get a season out of him when he's a dominant player that helps your defense. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
especially if he buys
the guy
in.
Is physically talented. Mm-hmm. No one can argue that. No one. Not even Andre
Garak. Ty Warren called him freakish.
He might be the most physically gifted inside defensive lineman since Warren.
He just manhandled people when he was playing his game in Tennessee.
He's a tremendous
and
player.
Every play would be, you know, doing something to disrupt.
The numbers bore that out, too. Because when he was on the field with Tennessee, nobody could run against that defense.
That's right. When
he was out,
yep,
teams instantly started running against
the
Titans.
Right. That's
so
right.
So just plug him in with Warren, Wilfork, and that front right there is pretty impressive.
And when you
agree.
No one could run, you're not meaning it like just philosophically.
No.
Literally
they couldn't run against the team.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, no, he's a terrific player. The thing that I've been hearing a lot this morning that I am, you know, Andy called it cold water I'm throwing on. I've heard a lot of people say, well, this is, you know, you can pass rush from the inside too. You know, this is gonna fix the pass rush. This is a guy who is a very effective interior pass rusher. He's not a guy that's gonna magically create a pass rush for your team.
But it'll help.
His career high is 8.5. He did that once.
Right.
No, but I don't think people are talking about his numbers.
But pushing the pocket
helps
the guys on the outside.
Right, yeah.
You know,
the domino effect.
If you move a quarterback who likes to stay in the pocket out of the pocket, that's just as good.
Or if the tackle is just thinking for one millionth of a second to keep an eye out for Haynesworth from the inside, that helps.
Right.
There's some little trickle-down of it.
See, I think that has been oversold from what I'm hearing so far. I think that this is a good move. Again, I'm going to restate that because I don't want it to be put that I'm saying something different. I think it's a great move because there's no downside to me. If it doesn't work out, you've lost nothing.
I just think it helps your running game.
I just don't
more
think that if
first.
It works, it's going to be the Randy Moss hit or the Corey Dillon of 04 hit. And a lot of people are saying that. I don't see this guy making that kind of impact if it works. I'm not as high on what that guy is now. As a lot of other people.
Yeah, I don't know.
The trouble is, he's Richard Seymour. If at his best,
he's
you'll
replacing
have people,
Richard Seymour.
You'll have people arguing, well, he only has 4.5 sacks. How good? You know what I mean?
And I won't
exactly
be one
you
of
don't
those.
Have
but
the 1,600 yards. You don't have the 23 touchdowns to point to and say, that's the number. That's the greatest ever.
Right.
So.
Right.
I think that's part of the discussion.
But you'll see the impact
will be as how the defense does as a whole.
We'll see it, Fred. Paul won't because he'll say, "See, I told you he wasn't."
And
that
how
good.
Those
because
third
if,
down
if,
numbers,
but
Andy, improve.
If
you like Brad Smith,
if Rob
Paul,
now
let's not get into
who was
that
on
now.
The side it was Nick. No, If Ninkovich will be on that side, I'm assuming he's going to be playing the right,
on the right side.
Defensive end.
Yes. Ninkovich is usually on that side.
If Rob Ninkovich all of a sudden does turn into Mike Vrabel, which you can see that. That's a stat that will be evident there.
Sure.
So I think you'll be able to tell if he is that kind of an impact, even if he only ends up with 5 or 6sacks.
Which he will.
Zach Wright.
The other thing I wanted to say is just real quick is, you know, his motivation. I mean, what better way? I believe it got so personal that it was simply about Shanahan and Haynesworth. That was it. It wasn't 3-4. It was personal, alpha dog,
so
whack
what was
dogs.
It in Tennessee then?
I think he's nuts. But I think it was 100% personal last year where it went to the next level, laying down on the field, flat out refusing to do anything.
But he's going to a team where the head coaches are kind of, they're close.
Yeah, well, I don't know that they're as close as I mean, I know they have a relationship.
They have an established relationship.
Money,
philosophically.
I'm sorry?
Was the Tennessee thing
money?
I'm
not sure they're the same.
No, that's why he ended up leaving Tennessee, but he was, like, suspended at times in Tennessee.
Right.
For,
but,
you know, being a malcontent.
Yeah, no, Andy said, but what better way to flip a middle finger at Mike Shanahan than to go win 13, 14 games in New England and do all the interviews where you are the reason that the worst defense in football is now very good? I mean, what better way to stick it to the guy that you want to stick it to? That I mean, and that's why I think you could get a good year out of him.
And the reason I don't just say it, it's about Shanahan is because it was the same thing with Zorn, you know, his first year in Washington. You know,
I wonder if Shanahan was going to go in and just personal
at the start with Shanahan. Because he didn't want to play 3-4, and no one was going to tell Albert Haynesworth what he was going to do.
Right.
Shanahan came in,
right.
You know,
and
trying to be the new sheriff in town, and tell his players what they were going to do.
Right
now, well, I'm going to guess that Bill Belichick is going to tell him what to do.
Right,
mm-hmm.
We'll see if he
Pepper Johnson will.
I don't have any dogs in that fight. I think Shanahan and Haynesworth are both.
It is what it is.
Dinks.
Oh, that's dinks.
There's an N in the word. Why'd you give me that look?
Because I didn't hear the N the first
time. Zach writes in, if we move to a 4-3, it allows Guyton to move outside. He's our fastest linebacker and generates more pass rushing lanes for our existing linebackers. Spikes will spell Mayo.
This is kind of what I was
talking
about.
Eric Moore, Dane Fletcher, and Ninkovich would rotate an outside linebacker with Cunningham and Guyton as the starters. I'm assuming Markell Carter and Marcus Morrell end up on the practice squad. This signing may be how we generate a pass rush, preserve, if not improve, our run stopping, and all without spending huge money on a pass rusher. A defensive line with both Warrens, Vince, and Haynesworth as the starters being spelled by Brace Pryor Wright and, God willing, a healthy Marcus Stroud. Well, God willing, he's gone because they got rid of him, would be formidable. And if Stroud and Haynesworth can both return to form, this trade becomes an embarrassment of riches. Well, Stroud's gone. So,
And Jermaine Cunningham is not a starting 4-3 outside linebacker. He'd have to play end.
That would be a tough thing for him to do.
Yeah, so I'm of the belief that they'll have four-man fronts. They're going to still be a 3-4-2 gap team.
I don't see any of this, to me, the
Stroud move today, that confirms they're not going to change the system.
Right.
Because you could make an argument, well, they want to get Seymour and Haynesworth as the defensive tackles in a 4-3, but now you're getting rid of some of your defensive line depth. If you wanted to do that, I agree 100% with Andy.
But I am intrigued by four-man sub-fronts with potentially Will Fork and Haynesworth in the middle and Moore and Cunningham or Moore on the outside and seeing kind of how those things unfold.
And just because they have the safety of being able to get rid of him doesn't mean it's cheap. This is not cheap.
Right.
It's over $5 million base salary. That's not cheap.
No.
That would be one of the highest cap counts on the team. Wouldn't it cost you that much to draft one?
Right.
That'd be like... Right, near, like the third highest cap count on the team.
Pretty high.
At 17, would it have cost you that? Would it have cost you over $5 million in year one to draft one at number 17?
No.
I don't think so, right?
I don't know. I'm just going though.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we have lines are busy. We'll get right to the Ace Ticket Hotline after this.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And, of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine. shine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, here to tell you about the second annual Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit. The Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mo Si Fatupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mo Si Fatupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Birds!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
I mean, I think he's a great player. Hell of a player. You know, I had a chance to play in the Pro Bowl with him, so you know, I think he's a great athlete. I mean, I don't know, you know, Albert personally, but you know what? I mean, like I said, you know, one thing we try not to do is, you know, try to see what's going on around the league, and because our hands full right now. I mean, you know, no more tour days, and that knocks basically half your practice away. And right now we're in that studying room and just watching film, getting back, and trying to move forward. So whatever that is, that's what we're going to do.
All right, that was Vince Wilfork today at practice talking about Albert Haynesworth and the new rules around two-a-days, no more of them. So kind of lamenting that, you know, not as much many practices to get things done. But all the teams are in the same boat, so, you know, it is what it is, as a famous coach says. Andy and Eric went up to get food from the media workroom upstairs. So Paul and I are here. Now, Andy, Paul, you were telling me how Andy hates Brad Smith and he's available. There's a couple teams
Quote, Andy and I had what was could only be described as an unbelievably effective PFW in progress argument yesterday afternoon, to which Eric kind of witnessed and laughed. Andy said that he's never accomplished anything in the National Football League, while I said that I wouldn't necessarily be, you know, crawling through anthrax to get Brad Smith on my team. I think he's a pretty versatile, you know, valuable player. So, I think he can fill in as a, you know, an extra, you know, not a top receiver, but like a fourth or fifth guy.
Right.
He's a good return man. He's done some stuff as a wildcat quarterback for them where he's run the ball effectively. I don't think the Patriots necessarily need him, but I think he could fill an effective role for a good football team.
Well, when Andy comes back,
he's a tremendous athlete.
When Andy comes back, I'll pretend that I just heard that the Patriots had signed Brad Smith and see what he says.
Yeah, my guess is that he's going to know.
Hear me, listeners, when you hear me say that, that's not it's a joke. So don't.
Yeah,
you know,
my
start
guess is that he's going to know it's fake.
Well, we'll see. I just want to read this quick email about Asamoah. This is from Conrad in L.A. Then we'll get to the phones. He says he is by far the best cornerback in the league, better than Revis. He's been playing at a level equivalent to Revis for the last few years, which in my opinion makes him better. He's a masterful technician at the cornerback position. It just gets lost on the average fan because he's in the black hole, whereas you have Revis in a huge media market being pimped by his outspoken coach. If the Jets got him, it would be near impossible to score on them using outside receivers in a traditional lineup in play sense. Utilizing motion or sending picks like they did in the 45-3 massacre might allow for it, but the majority of the offensive production would come from the tight ends and anyone working underneath. And one last thing, stop giving the Jets credit for the blueprint for beating us in December. The Packers are actually the team that really did it, if you remember that game at all. With the exclusion of a burst of offensive production from a hurry-up offensive series where Brady refused to let them substitute somewhere in the third quarter, the Patriots struggled to move on them. Time of possession difference was 40 minutes to 20 minutes in favor of the Packers that night. The reason the Pats got beaten so bad by the Jets in the playoffs was the fact that the offensive line crapped their pants more than they usually do. Anyway, keep up the good work. You made the lockout a livable experience. Packers did, you know, I remember.
Packers absolutely did. The only reason why I give the Jets credit is they've done it more often.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the Packers' fault. The Packers only played them once. But the Jets play them twice a year, sometimes three times, and they've done what they did in the playoffs more than once.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Derek at the University of Arizona. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, that's all right. Thanks for putting me on. Long time no talk.
Yeah, what's happening?
Nothing really. Just enjoying summer. So,
all right.
Been on vacation for about the past couple of weeks. Well, I haven't really chimed in, but I'd like to give my two cents on a couple of the topics you guys are talking about. First off, I agree with Mully, and I apologize. I didn't get the last email, or if you guys just read the email about Asamoah, but
Conrad,
you know,
from L.A., right?
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think he offers a great. He's probably one of my favorite non-Patriots players. I've watched him for a long time, and I think someone mentioned it. He did play safety at Cal, and he is really physical. The only thing that I think Revis probably is more superior to him in is definitely his hands. I think Asamoah had one season where he had a lot of picks. I think it was like 8 in like 2005 or 2006, but really a majority of the seasons he hasn't really had a lot of interceptions, and I think so Revis capitalizes on those opportunities a little bit more. But, you know, Asamoah's a very good tackler and definitely has that wrapping and hitting mentality that safeties have. But I don't know. Just my two cents on that.
Paul, maybe you know this. Why aren't the Raiders going hard to re-sign him?
I don't think he has any interest
in
re-signing.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I agree with Derek.
What did he say? I'm sorry. What?
It's more him. I don't think he has any interest in re-signing there.
Okay.
No. I mean, he's gotten his big money. I think, a lot of, you know, the bigger NFL, you know, Total Access guys are saying, you know, he's gotten his money. He wants to go to, you know, and play for a contender. I think Confora, you know, Jason LaConfora from NFL Network, he said that, you know, the Texans are the favorites this morning, you know, and I'm really hoping he doesn't go to the Jets because he's one of my, you know, favorite players, but I don't know. I was just wondering, you know, about the Haynesworth thing. I'm not really sure why I've seen a lot of hate for it. I mean, I'm not in love with the guy as a person by any means, But I think as a player, and definitely next to Wolfwerk, with our defense and how it kind of changes from a three, you know, to a four-man front, I think it'd be kind of interesting to see how he fits in here.
I agree. I mean, I think 80% of the tweets or emails that I've seen are all for the move. They're all for it. In fact, I think ESPNBoston.com had a poll as soon as it happened, and within 20 minutes they had a couple thousand people, and 89% of them were in favor of the move. So, you know, there are haters out there, but I think most people say, hey, you know, it's absolutely worth the risk.
Well, it's nice because according to Andrew Brandt, you know, the Patriots acquire him for $12.6 million for the next 2 years with nothing guaranteed. So since the Redskins have, you know, taken care of, you know, the vast majority of his contract and the guaranteed money, you know, he comes to us, and but hopefully Ty Warren coming back healthy and fresh this year, and Wolfwerk, you know, as the all-star, you know, the all-pro he is, you know, that defensive line should be definitely a force to reckon with.
Yeah, nothing's guaranteed. But,
who is there a player that you guys would like to target that's still out there on the market, just kind of based on how this, you know, market is shaped up so far?
There was one that I did kind of like that we haven't talked a ton about, but evidently he re-signed with the Giants, and that's Kiwanuka.
He did?
Yeah,
he did
looks re-sign? Like he re-signed with New York.
When did that happen?
Just now. Justin Tuck, I guess, sent a tweet indicating that out. Oh. And good friend Judy Batista had retweeted that. So I thought that was a guy, and I saw Chris Gasper wrote this from the Boston Globe. Maybe not as an every-down player, but as a situational guy that I thought could benefit from a guy like Haynesworth. You know, I thought Kiwanuka as an edge guy made some sense, but... You know, I think you're going to have to go with, you know, the guys like Manny Lawson that we've talked about and Matt Roth and some of those other players. But I would definitely bring somebody in. They need somebody.
Well, it's funny because Matt Roth's name is really – I really get a kick out of how much I've heard his name lately. And I give you guys, you know, pretty much full credit for that. I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing yet. But
that's true.
I mean, that's really exploded. I mean, it's been everywhere.
Yeah, for a guy who's not a marquee player, he's had his name talked about a hell of a lot these last 6 months.
Yeah, definitely. But Manny Lawson does intrigue me, especially because I know he's a quicker guy. So, you know, I think that his overall skill set is something I'd be interested in. But, you know, going to you know, the receivers and Brad Smith as well, you know, Brad Smith intrigues me a little bit, but the problem with Brad Smith I have is I feel like he'll probably be one of those players that is overpaid to the point where I don't think that we'd actually be interested in him because of what he's asking for. Well, although I do like the way that the Paul you kind of mentioned a second ago with his returning ability, how we can offer something as a fourth or fifth receiver. He does run that Sentinel package, I believe it's called, or the Wildcat for the Jets.
Yep.
And so that's interesting, but.
Well, I don't know if
really
you heard, but the Patriots are, in fact, interested in Brad Smith, and I hear that the signing might be imminent.
Yeah. So. All right, guys. Well, appreciate the time, and it's good talking to you. And
okay.
I hope you guys have a good rest of the show.
Thanks for the call, Derek.
I told you Andy would be beside himself when
you
told him.
But
that.
Where did that come from?
What? No, I just when you guys were up there, I got the call.
Oh.
About
how much
Brad,
money are we paying
about
for him?
Brad Smith?
Yeah. So you don't like that?
No, I don't care for him.
What do you mean you don't care for him?
I think the idea of Brad Smith
is
better than...
Every time he's on TV, he's making plays.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
This is
the
was it on his four
really?
Catches
yeah.
he had
really?
Last
yeah.
year? Is that what it was on?
No, and the kick return game as well.
So he's Brandon Tate, or is he Julian Edelman?
Was Brandon Tate making plays every time he was on TV?
Well, he had two touchdowns. I'm guessing those got him on TV.
So you don't like Brad Smith?
No, I don't care for him.
Why?
Because I think the idea of the athlete
doesn't like his
is
comportment,
better...
Paul.
Than the execution. He's a jag of all trades.
Oh, I'm only kidding.
Oh, I thought he was a jag.
I was just saying that to get you going.
Well, he is.
No, no, no. Who was that? Who was the jag?
Antonio Holm is
oh,
a jav.
Right. Yeah. Just a very good guy.
Yeah.
A jav giga.
Yeah, Paul and I have already had this argument. He thinks he's the second coming of, who should I make him, Paul?
Brad Smith.
Paul doesn't want to play. He's
the
still
second
mad
coming
from
of
yesterday.
Brad Smith?
Who was the first coming of Brad Smith?
We already talked about this.
I see what you guys do.
Antoine
I leave
Randall
the room, and you talk about me behind my back. I see how it is.
Let's go to
Antoine. Derek, by the way, Fred was only kidding because I don't think
Yeah, you did report Derek, that as real.
Well, he well, but before I, that I told he had said, before, "I'm going to say it. It's not real, which I'm going to try to get Andy going."
You shouldn't do that.
But I'm not sure that Derek heard that.
Let's go to
Antoine Randall.
Jonas
by the way,
from Durham's been holding on for
better.
Over 26
not a great
minutes.
Player.
Hey, Jonas.
Not a great player.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I just wanted to ask you a couple questions about Haynesworth. Obviously, we're all talking about Haynesworth. And Andy said something before he ran away to eat about...
I'm back, and I'm still eating.
I know. I hear you. about the sub packages. You know, I think that, you know, I don't know, Mike Reese said they spend 48% or whatever their snaps in some sort of six-man front. I think he could probably play all four of those positions up front. I mean, he could play outside in the sub package, too.
I agree.
They have no shortage of tackles, like if Dedrick is back and Love and whatnot. You know, he could play one of those end positions when they have, you know, a 4-2 kind of thing.
Yeah, I think he can play. He's athletic enough to play anywhere on the front.
Absolutely.
And I think you have some other guys that make it intriguing in the combinations. I think Will Fork is athletic enough to play anywhere on the front. I think Mike Wright, we've seen play on the edge, obviously, but also they've used him interior. He's played some true nose in his career.
In a pinch.
So
he's not ideal for the spot.
No, and none of them are necessarily ideal. I mean, the ideal defensive end is probably not 350 pounds, but these guys are athletic enough.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, we're analyzing this in terms of 3-4, 4-3, nickel, different things. You know, Bill may just have another role that we're not familiar with on this team in recent history for this guy. You know,
fullback.
We've seen that before.
Yeah, fullback.
Yeah. Well, we haven't seen that, but you know, he may put him out there with, you know, certain jobs that we haven't seen an individual single guy do in the last 6, 7, 8 years. You know,
that's where you get into the value, though, because the whole thing with him was he only wanted to play in sub packages in Washington. Well, I don't think they would have signed him to a $100 million contract had they known he was going to dictate what downs he played and what packages it would be in.
Right.
$5.4 million is still a lot of money to pay a guy who's a situational player, who's only going to play in certain situations. To me, for that much money, you better be playing most downs. That's a heck of a lot of money that you could be giving.
But if they're in sub packages half the time, even sometimes.
Right.
60% of the time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever the package is, it just gets down to the number of downs. So he's got to be playing the majority of those downs.
I'd like to know what Will Fork's snap percentage was last year. How many downs did he play?
It was higher than it's been in the last 5 years or so. I know that because he played more in sub packages than he did in the past.
Right. Out of both necessity, in my mind, but also out of he's one of the highest paid players on the team. I want him on the field most often.
Exactly.
And they had other guys to play inside, so he did some things he might not have otherwise done. You know, the moving out to five techniques.
See, I think
like
he went
that.
Outside.
Part of that
they
was
didn't have
too.
Yeah, they didn't have guys on the outside that could play.
They had a lot of injuries.
They did have guys on the inside. You know, Kyle Love played a lot. Brent Dedrick towards the end of the year played some. You know,
but to me, Will Fork went outside not because those guys were just bursting to get playing time. It's because they had nobody. You know, when Mike Wright was out and all those injuries happened to the defensive ends, they needed somebody out there.
But they couldn't have done it if they didn't have somebody to put in where he might have otherwise been.
No, but my point is whoever was healthy would have been in there. If Gerard Warren wasn't on his last leg down the stretch, they wouldn't have been playing, you know, Eric. They had to bring Eric Moore and Landon Cohen in. The healthy guys were Kyle Love and those guys. You know, Myron Pryor was hurt. All of the defensive ends basically were banged up as Vince Wilfork could only really play outside because the only other backups couldn't play outside. Vince Wilfork could because he's that good.
Can I just say two off-topic things before I let you guys go?
Sure.
Before I called, I spent about 20 minutes trying to find your new phone number on the internet. It's nowhere.
That's not good.
No.
I finally... I think a Google search with PFW in progress and call turned something up somewhere. But PFWinProgress.com has the old number. Patriots.com, I mean, I was looking around, but every page takes forever to load.
Wow. Uh-oh. New site getting bashed.
Yeah, does take
forever. Yeah, I mean, I know that you guys have to do it the way that the league tells you to and all that, but there's too much stuff on the pages, you know?
Wow, I thought that was the problem with the old site.
It was, yeah.
Welcome to the new site, same as the old site.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think Bob Dylan said that.
And Eric, you're back, Eric.
Yeah, been back.
I just wanted to say I like listening to you a lot. I like reading you a lot.
I feel like there's a butt coming up here.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not saying it. Boy, you left the window open on that one, Eric.
No, or the door in this case.
Nobody's going to take you seriously as an intellectual if you say that you watch Fox and take it seriously. Just, you know.
Sorry, I
missed
chewing.
That. Watched what?
Fox.
Fox?
Oh.
Fox News?
Oh, it's political bashing. Oh, never mind.
I mean, I've watched it, you know, but I don't perhaps take it as seriously as you do. And
What? All right, just real quick. What exactly are you watching, and do you think that I watch on that network?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know that you haven't spoken about it in a while, but you've said in the past that that's where you get a lot of your news.
Yeah, I watch that. I don't watch the commentary shows. I don't watch O'Reilly. I don't watch Beck's not on there anymore, but I don't watch those type of things.
That's good.
I watch the news shows. I watch Special Report at 6, which is the news cast, and I watch Fox News Sunday, which is one of the, you know, the several talking head shows that they have, like Face the Nation, Meet the Press, that kind of stuff.
But
I also watch for my left-handed news, I watch BBC. So I get a full run.
Not very left, though.
Oh yes, it is.
See, that's kind of my point.
I read the New York Times. I read the Times of London, the Washington Post. I spread it all around. That's just one source.
You certainly don't
read
the New York Times believing that is the truth, do you?
No, but okay. I read all different types of things, and I think most viewers who consume their news that way are smart enough to figure out what's BS and what's truth. And you have to get it from both sources because. Or else you're just gonna get only one sided opinions.
Thanks
so
a lot, Jonas, for getting on this topic.
Let me just say one last thing.
As long as it's not politics, because we got a lot of.
No, it's okay. If he's ripping Eric, rip him.
A lot of people want to talk football. So
no politics. One last thing about you guys. I know we're getting real close to the regular season. You know, everything's ramping up. Really glad that you guys are going back to 3 days a week soon. And I would, in fact. Crawl through Anthrax to listen to you fellas.
Wow, that's great.
You.
Wow. You're made up for it.
Hey, thanks for curing polio,
all
too.
Right.
Well, then you better listen to the pregame social.
Do you like that, Paulie?
We'll be launching.
Jonas? Right. Yeah, Jonas.
We're going to have more info on that. Christopher writes in, hey, guys, picture this. You're Ryan Fitzpatrick. Your O-line is suspect on a good day. You see a 4-3 front as Belichick likes to do the odd time. There's Myron Pryor, Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork, and Albert Haynesworth in front of you. Do you, A, wet your pants? B, hand it off to C.J. Spiller and see him get ganked by the D-line. C, get a 7-step drop after receiving the ball in shotgun and pray to God someone opens up away from Devin McCourty. Or D, take the snap and get sandwiched by Haynesworth and Wilfork combined weight over 600 pounds. It's scary to think what could be.
How did Myron Pryor get in that mix?
Well, another big guy.
No, I know.
Throw Kyle Love in there, then. At least he's
the brother love.
I'm throwing, Paul, who am I throwing in there based on looks?
Marlon Favorite.
Marlon Favorite is my new favorite defensive lineman. He looks like a mini. He's kind of like Kyle Love, who is a mini Vince Wilfork. He has that same barrel.
I don't know if mini's the right term.
Is it barrel bellied instead of barrel chested? They lead with their bellies, unlike Scott Pioli, who leads with his chest all the time. They lead with their bellies, and I just like their look, either as defensive lineman for my football team or the bouncer. Maybe they can work Schwings. They can be the doorman at Schwings because those guys like their look.
Schwings is Andy's new Buffalo Wings restaurant.
Not just Buffalo Wings. We have Buffalo Wings.
We have 31 different
kinds
of wings.
It's not new. The idea's been out there for, how many years?
Huh?
We offer 31 different kinds of wings at Schwings.
Yes. We also have a gourmet hot dog bar, a gourmet
we're all on staff
mashed
here,
potato
too,
bar, and the largest desserts you'll ever find.
But when this takes off someday, you know, I'll be long gone by then, but I'll.
You mean dead or not here?
Hey, I remember when Andy first had that idea.
You need to work in a gluttonous.
When you see the IPO on Fox News, which Eric will be watching with you, I want you to remember Schwings.
Hey, have we confirmed that this big Albert Hay is, in fact, Albert Haynesworth?
I said right off the bat, I don't think it was.
It can't be. Because this last tweet is, I get horny when I think about food and rolling over Sanchez.
It
can't be.
Also, Fred, if you look at
the number based on that tweet, but it says right on it, it's not. And Eric read that.
Okay.
And it also, you know, it's brand new. You can tell because he had like 10 followers when he first, you know,
All right.
Signed on for us. So you would think that a guy like that who's been in the league all this time would have a lot more followers.
Right. Cormac writes in, what an exciting week we're in. Welcome to Beantown, Big Al. I, for one, am excited about what Bill has planned for him, as I can only imagine Bill must have tremendous belief in Al's skills to feel it's worth taking on him. taking on the fat man. He said that's Haynesworth, not Paul. So anyway, quick
or
game.
Or Fred.
I thought of this game when Bannacane got cut. Bannacane got way overpaid and made me think of other poor Bill decisions. So, guys, what would be the top three worst decisions Bill has made since his tenure began? Some examples might be continuing to ignore lack of pass rush, trading Seymour, Adalys Thomas, dare I say Spygate. What else?
Be starting Eric Alexander in the AFC title game.
Be
in
interested
the RCA
to
dome.
Hear what you guys think. Well, why are we all going all negative on
yeah,
a
yeah, I don't
like
think
today?
We need to do that.
Strike it from the record then.
We'll let Andy just do that.
He asked a question. I thought we were email driven. I thought we went where our emailers took us. I'm sorry. I'm a man of the people.
Eric Alexander's start.
John in Largo, Florida, does not like this pick. He says after Haynesworth stomped on Andre Girard's head in 06, I thought he should have been banned from the NFL. No way do I want this lowlife on the Patriots. Well,
yeah, I'm over that stuff.
I
got to get over that stuff. I mean, we've talked about how my team would be winless.
Yeah,
you know, if I was the GM, I'd have all good guys, and we wouldn't win any games.
But you're so funny because your team has such a narrow window of talent. You can't be the little white Jeff Fry overachiever, and you can't be the gifted athlete punk and a felon.
This is a typical.
So you only can have mildly talented people who are really nice.
No, you're typical.
Right?
That's a typical.
Eric,
Andy
where
Hart.
Am I wrong there? Wait. Before
it's
you try to sway
Andy
the argument,
over Sterling, I have
use
no
your
problem.
Voice for once and tell me where I'm wrong.
I'll tell you yesterday. I'll tell you where. I'll tell you right now where you're wrong.
I didn't ask you. I asked
have
Eric.
No problems
are you speaking
with
for Eric?
I have no problems with the Jeff Fry overachievers. I have a problem, Fred. What is my problem with that list? The Jeff Fry overachiever list. What is my problem with that?
Wait,
well, they get pumped up by
they get way more credit for things that they do than they deserve. That's my problem with it.
So you couldn't have them on your team because you would be so annoyed
as an owner. Of course I could have them on my team if they helped me. Role play. Everybody needs role players.
But then once the public overrates them, you'd cut them.
No, I don't care. If I'm the GM, I don't care what the public says.
Fans are stupid,
I don't know.
Right?
I think you would.
I think you would. I think
no,
you would.
No, that's completely opposite of I've based my whole persona here on this show saying what?
Persona.
I think the
You're
fans,
saying the
are,
fans
stupid.
Are stupid. Yeah.
Right. What would I care if I was the GM what the fans said?
Well, because if a fan said something that makes you want to beat them until they stop breathing,
you
might go out and find them and do
with
that.
The fans,
that wasn't the GM
then.
I'd have to curtail my violence toward fans if I were in fact a GM. That is a valid point by you,
corrected.
Eric. A valid point by you.
Sometimes
no,
the majority
there is a,
of people are right.
I need the role players. I don't have a problem with the Wes Welkers and the Jeff Fries of the world. I need those guys on my team.
Just all like, I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out.
What irritates me is when Trot Nixon...
But he only lets good guys on his team.
But what irritates me is the Trot Nixon... I can't trade Trot Nixon because he's a good role player and he's a dirt dog. For a guy who hits, you know, this is before we knew about Sammy Sosa's whole steroid thing, you know, back, we can't trade him for Sammy Sosa. That's what irritates me. As a GM, I'm making that trade. I'll take the more talented guy. Now, again, at that point, we didn't know about the performance, you know, all that stuff. Take that out of it. So I don't have any problems with having role players. You need them. You can't just have a team of stars.
But
I like the talent.
Louis from Illinois says, God, it's good to have football back. And listening to you guys argue about our three outside linebackers, I was writing it today because I watch a lot of the old playoff games for the Patriots. I was watching the 04 playoff game versus the Colts, and I noticed something you guys have mentioned, but the people don't understand. Several times in that game, we had Green, Wilfork, and Seymour at the line. Then our linebackers standing right. I don't know if he means right up or... Out of nowhere, Vrabel and McGinnis would just put their hand on the ground, and that would turn into a four-man front. My point is that even with Albert, he's more likely to be used as a nickel rusher or two-gap end, which also explains why Belichick prefers 6'4", 260-pound outside linebackers because of such great versatility. Go Pats and F the Jets.
Yeah. Speaking of F the Jets, Michael Lombardi now reporting that the Texans are the front runner for Nnamdi Asamoah. Although the Jets are still in it and the Niners are still in it.
I mean, would you? Can you imagine a scenario where the Patriots swoop in there and make a bid for this guy and get him?
For Asamoah? Yeah. No.
No way?
No, not really.
That
no.
Who?
For Asamoah.
The Patriots.
No. I did see the – did you guys talk about –
although,
you
know
going?
What? I would have said the same thing about Haynesworth right now. Last year we talked about Haynesworth, but after that whole debacle, I would have written that off too.
Schefter, so. Somebody mentioned earlier on Twitter that Nate Clements is going to be let go by the Niners.
I think already has.
That happened.
We said that.
To sign Ray Charles.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Would you be interested in him as an alternative instead of Asamoah?
I mean – I'm not sure there's a huge need at corner.
I don't think I didn't think we needed to draft one in the second round, so
right.
I certainly don't
but now
need,
you have. You have three.
I don't certainly.
I thought you made the point on the show a couple of weeks ago that corner was one of your top
slot
three.
Corner. I need a little shifty guy for the inside. Right. I don't think that's Nate Clements.
No. Yeah, I mean, if they're going
to really know who good slot corners are in the NFL, to be honest with you, but
if they're going
to
spend
guys who can't play on the edge who
right,
you know,
but this
could
team
be
to me,
yeah.
You have two lackluster options in Butler and Wilhite. Now, I will say the scouting report on Wilhite, if you remember when he was drafted, was a slot corner.
Slot corner, right.
Then he all of a sudden was an outside corner. He was a starter. He's covering
and he
Reggie
actually
Wayne.
Played pretty well.
Right. But maybe he
then
just
he
falls back
a
into
bit.
That slot corner mold. But that's just my point. I don't think any of your top three corners, Dowling, Bodden, or McCourty, are suited for the slot. Now, I think Bodden did it I think they all did it a little bit last year. Remember when they were rotating through? That Bill was basically rotating the three corners.
Yeah.
I think they all took a few training camp reps at it.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think they're near suited, experienced
no.
for it.
I would say Kyle Arrington's probably the
maybe.
Best suited for
he
it.
He certainly will be.
Because that's probably more of what he's supposed to be, but out of necessity last
Kyle
year.
I love Arrington. I'm not going to lie to you.
You don't love him?
No. As a player.
I mean, he's okay.
I think he's a tremendously nice guy.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. I mean, he was good to have, but definitely. You're not settling on a guy
right.
like that.
I would put
no,
him
I'm
in
talking
the same...
about as a slot corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think last year, out of necessity, he had to move to the
I
outside.
I also think right. he's more physical than he is quick and shifty. I think
out
he
of necessity,
needs to be pretty quick
to move
in the
to the D-line.
I think...
What's the matter, Andy?
Who's opening chips?
I was starting to, but...
It's okay to burp, but it's not okay to open chips.
Did he turn his mic off? Because I turned mine off.
I didn't realize it was that going to be that.
I turned my mic off.
I don't know if you don't think that we heard it.
But that's all I can do is turn my mic off. I took the necessary steps.
How about not burp?
Or keep your mouth closed when you burp.
Are you telling me not to burp? Really? You? Fred Kirsch, and I'm pointing at you because we're on the radio.
That is kind of funny.
Strippers, for clarification, says that last year Vince Wilfork's snap percentage was 69.8%. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised by that number. Like we talked about, he was... one of the few defensive linemen who stayed healthy.
Did we talk about Jimmy?
No, we didn't.
Standing on the sideline with his arms crossed?
For two reasons. Standing on the sideline and somebody brought up other players that are maybe potentially could be a little bit overpaid.
the Globies are retweeting each other about why Mankins wasn't on the field. No mention of PFW, but just so you know.
Unbelievable. Michael Lombardi, I think we just said this, but said the Texans are offering $12 to $14 million
yes.
for Asamoah.
Highest paid
corner. And part of that, the Patriots are helping them pay for that. So,
not true, by the way, just like we're not signing Brad Smith. Fred is putting out misinformation today.
Let's go to the phones at the 508-298-0398 Ace Ticket Hotline. Orlando from Springfield. Hey, Orlando.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How's everything?
Oh, things are great. We're just glad to be back.
Amen. Hey, listen, man, I'm back over here still in Springfield, man. Still crapping my pants. We almost had another tornado the other day.
It really is.
Yeah, what'd you guys do? Who'd you piss off upstairs?
I have no idea, but whoever it is, I wish they would forgive us and leave us alone, man. Too much. I'm thinking about actually moving out of here.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred, I heard you're just basically full of money.
Well, Fred's got a guest house. You could probably move right in.
Yeah, and Fred's pool house.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, I know Fred is loaded, so I want to know if I can move in with you, Fred.
Yeah, I'm full of it, but I'm not loaded.
Hey, listen, guys. Look, just in case, and I'm praying this doesn't happen, but just in case, let's say the Jets do sign Nnamdi. Okay, what do the Patriots do from there?
Like, we move to the AFC South.
How do we counteract that move if they sign Nnamdi? Do we go after a big receiver? Do we, you know, utilize tight ends more or the running game? I mean, you know, if God forbid that happens, and I pray it doesn't, what do we do?
The latter two. You're not going to sign, unless you trade for Larry Fitzgerald, you're not going to get a receiver at this point, in my opinion, who's going to suddenly win one-on-one matchups with those two corners. So you look at other ways to move the ball. Mm-hmm. That's underneath passing. That's play action pass, finding the tight ends. Yeah, ideally, except for the fact that I don't know if you know, Orlando. I did a little research yesterday for Patriots Football Weekly. I'm going to give you a sneak peek, a little stat I came up with. Of the Patriots running backs who had 1,000-yard seasons, how many do you think followed up their first 1,000-yard season with
another
a
one?
Better season?
Oh, man, I can't imagine there hasn't been too many.
It's the first letter of your name, Orlando, or number.
One.
Zero. Ooh. All regressed. Jim Nance was close, went from 1,400 to 12. Curtis Martin had a similar thing, 14
Curtis,
to 12.
Oh.
Everyone got worse. Some of them weren't on the team. You remember Robert Edwards, Leonard Russell,
yeah.
Craig James, huge drop-off. Tony Collins, huge drop-off.
Corey Dillon.
Corey Dillon, drop-off. Big drop-off. So keep that in mind when you're talking about the improved running game.
Well, I'm just talking about it improved as a unit.
Who's
going to
improve it?
Well, I don't know. Hopefully Shane Vereen, Ridley,
that's
those
a lot guys. Of pressure on two guys who just got the playbook yesterday or today.
Well, they're going to have to be creative. If Asamoah goes there, you've got to be creative. Motion, screens, you know, and, you know, whatever. Get people
more of the tight ends involved.
Yeah, figure out how
Brad
you
Smith.
Can, how you can create space, you know.
Run in, throw in. He's a... Fred all over the place.
You know,
can I just make an aside? Strippers, please stop starting trouble like you always do.
What's he doing?
I just got a tweet from Shalice Manza-Young from the Globe. Ooh. What do we steal from PFW? Ooh. And I look back. VIP strippers. You guys stole from PFW. I didn't say they stole anything. I said they tweeted the information that we had about why Mankins wasn't out there. But I didn't say that they stole it from us. I said no mention of PFW. I know that we tweeted it a long time ago.
Keep stirring the pot, strippers.
No,
I don't care.
I said that they stole it.
Hey, don't worry about them haters, guys. I mean, you guys just keep doing what you're doing. Hey, listen, one more thing before I go, and I don't know if anybody's kind of like noticed this either. Well, like watching NFL Network, I think it's like Albert Breer. When he's on, is it me or does this guy look like just uncomfortable? Like, I don't know, like his shorts are on too tight. Is it just me?
Well, I'll tell you, Albert, you know, he rose quickly in this industry. You know, he had to. Yeah, he's been moving around real fast, and he wasn't made for TV. Let's put it that way.
Oh, you got that right.
Yeah.
Well, and he should have. He was hired for a TV job, so clearly somebody thinks he was made for TV, but he was thrown. I mean, he had to work all of a sudden. You know, there's a lockout, and he has to do daily hits from every stakeout he's doing.
Yeah,
you know, maybe the plan was to ease him into it a little more.
Up to that point, all his jobs were writing.
No, I know, but he was hired by NFL Network.
Somebody
there decided put him on TV.
But that's the same with Schefter. That was
right.
Same with Mortensen.
No,
that was
I
the same
that.
With all of those guys.
That.
Perillo and Hart.
Yeah, well, I put you in that same category.
No, but I agree with you. You made fun of me, but I think Mike Reese looks really good on TV. Comes off as just, you think he knows his stuff. He presents it well. And I think Adam Schefter does the same thing. Breer and Jason LaConfora, to me, stink.
I agree
and Albert Breer, I like.
I agree with you 100%, Andy. Man, I think Schefter and Reese do. You know, they like I said, they do sound like they know what they're talking about. They do look good on TV. LaConfora, hit or miss, but Breer, man, I feel sorry. You'll see, he's gonna hyperventilate.
He's
gonna pass out.
I would give him a little time, because he is really new to it. And I would just say, first of all, it was an unbelievably difficult. Indoctrination into that world.
Right, for him.
For number one. I mean, he was basically 50-some-odd straight days of standing on a street corner for 10 hours doing nothing.
Did you see his car got towed?
No, I didn't see that.
He came home from being gone for over 2 weeks and
towed his car. And we tease Albert a lot because, we know him very well.
Right.
And we like him, but we tease him a lot. But I would just say, if he's not the smoothest guy on TV, he's just starting at this as a real full-time gig. Give him a little time. I think he'll get better.
But that's also irrelevant, too. If he becomes a great information guy, if he gets the story, John Clayton's terrible on TV.
Oh, I agree.
If you give information, you're going to have a job.
That's true.
I think Peter King doesn't speak very well, but he's done very well
on
John
TV. John Clayton went from 5,000 to 25,000 Twitter followers in a matter of minutes.
Blows my Twitter followers out of the water.
All right, Orlando.
I'll let you know when I hit 1,000.
Hang in there in Western Mass. Let's go to our friend.
Did you hear about Western Mass? It blows to live there.
Oh.
Wind. Tornado.
Wow. We get it.
That was the
like
part
it.
That I didn't like.
Our favorite writer of In Plain Sight is on the line, John in L.A. Hey, John.
Oh, it's
yeah,
John.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Thank you so much for everything you did for the offseason. It was like it could have been a disaster. It was great.
Well, thank you so much for the photos of Mary McCormick where she's looking hot.
Yeah. She is looking hot.
She looks hot in those photos. She doesn't look as hot on the show. It's a great shot. That is her money shot.
Yeah.
Boy, Andy.
Another backhanded compliment from Andy Hart. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit over there and
like
relax.
To pump something. It's not the
God
brakes.
Almighty.
God, yeah, yeah. Let's praise Andy for saying money instead of the other thing.
Does okay. it ride with I don't know what the other thing is.
No, sorry, shouldn't have encouraged that.
Bum.
So
oh, you're hoping Albert will come to Massachusetts.
Got it.
Unbelievable.
Good job. Really smooth.
Okay, go ahead.
So, as you've already covered this, I apologize in advance, but was there some kind of cap amnesty during this lockout, like right at the end, that explains why the Jets are so far under the cap besides that they cut a couple guys? They were in disaster mode.
Right. Apparently what happened was, they had dead money from the year before, which the rule was that dead money did not carry over to this year. So they got an amnesty there. Plus, in addition to that, you were allowed to borrow up to $3 million toward next year's cap, because this year's was supposed to be 123. They lowered to 120, but you were allowed to borrow $3 million up against next year's cap. So in its essence, you could spend 123 if you wanted to. I think that plus the amnesty – I heard that they were like $10 million under the cap.
That's the number I saw today.
The big one, though. The debt is the big one, because there's specific rules for the $3 million. It's like $1 million for each player. Right. They have to fit a certain contract. That is very much like the old $750, $450 veteran one-year contract. You can sign him for $750.
But he only counts for $450.
That's similar to what this $3
million
is.
Instead of a rookie pool, it's a veteran pool.
Yeah.
That $3 million.
It's more about the amnesty they got.
And you pay
for it later.
The amnesty.
Oh, yeah.
The borrowing. That's borrowing on future cap. So,
right.
Eventually you got to be in compliance. But I think the biggest thing is clearly they didn't get charged with the dead money. But to me, it all comes back to the same old thing. We always say that all of these teams are going to be in this situation, and it almost never happens because it is so easy to manipulate this cap.
Right.
And they've already talked about Mark Sanchez came out and said, he'd be willing to do things with, you know, they guarantee the base salary that allows you to give it to them all at once. So now you can prorate that over the remaining years of the contract. There were so many ways to get cap compliant and put the Jets in the position where that they did right now. And they also, people looked at all of those free agents that they had and assumed that they wanted them all back.
Right.
You know, they clearly identified Santonio Holmes as a guy they wanted back, you know, but not all of those guys are going to return. And not all of those guys are going to, you know, be gone, you know, because they took the highest bid from someone else. Some of them are going to be gone because the Jets didn't want them back.
Right.
But at what point does it come to bite them in the ass? And if it doesn't, why aren't we being a little bit more aggressive on high-end guys if it is so easy to be cap compliant?
Well, this is kind of a one-time thing, though, the dead money thing from last year. They took advantage of that. Right?
Well, if that put them, you know, $10 million under, the Patriots aren't $10 million under. They may not even have as much room as the Jets at this point.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, there were reports. It started out early around 7. You gained some with Tully, but now you're getting Haynesworth and, you know, the rookies in there.
You have that counts against the cap right now.
Right.
You
so,
know, so.
Well, nothing counts against the cap right now, right? We're still not cap compliant. No one is. I mean, you don't have to.
Well, you don't
Friday,
have to be
right?
until
yeah.
August 4th.
Is it
right?
Yeah,
maybe
it was
or
Friday.
Or is it Friday at 6?
Okay. I think it might be Friday.
Yeah, and that's what people were saying about, and that's what Shalice tweeted about Friday at 6.
Did she steal it from us?
No, I didn't say anything about the deadline.
No,
in terms
August
of the,
4th, they have to be salary cap compliant.
Friday at 6, you have to be, your contract becomes official. But they're still reporting that August 4th is the first time they can get on the
According
field.
To the NFL's timeline that they issued. Yep. 4:01 p.m. August 4th. Must be compliant with the cap.
But the bottom line is you can always do whatever you want to the cap. You can always tweak it.
I know you've already gone over this, but just briefly, are you guys psyched about the Haynesworth thing or skeptical or what?
I'm psyched.
I'm psyched.
I want to see what happens, you know, because it can only, you know, it's a low-risk move.
I mean, I'm excited that it's a high-profile move, but I'm very skeptical about what he's going to end up bringing to this.
Well, we'll see.
I think he's going to have a big year.
And I'm indifferent.
Okay.
All right.
Do you think no one of the undrafted free agents that we should take, like, during your research and stuff and the draft and the combine and stuff, any of those guys pop up on your radar or no?
Yeah, no.
No.
None of the guys I wanted as undrafted free agents did we sign. The
what's
Colts.
What's happened with Jared Page?
Nothing as of yet, from what I've seen. Fred, you had something.
I thought I saw a tweet yesterday where he said, "Hey, thanks for all the thanks for all the tweets. I'm glad to be back." But maybe he was just talking about football's back. I don't know.
He was my number two priority after after Logan Mankins. So,
yeah, I think he was acknowledging that fans were tweeting him saying, "We want you back in New England."
Oh, I saw that.
Okay. I think that's what he was acknowledging.
I didn't say he was coming back.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, John. Right. Hey, has Maureen McCormick had her baby yet?
It's Mary.
It's Mary.
Mary McCormick.
She's pretty old to have a baby.
Maureen McCormick is Marsha Brady.
But if you
right.
Mary.
Right.
Mary has it in September.
In September. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Will she be breastfeeding?
Oh, for God's sake. All right, John.
All right, guys.
Thanks for the call, John in L.A.
Does she need to practice?
Ken Walter's checking in. Ex-kicker Ken Walter.
Or punter.
Actually,
punter.
He still thinks he can do it.
Holder.
I know you have
never kicked.
I know you have a lot to cover these next few weeks, but I wanted to give you a tip on an underreported story. The lockout isn't completely over. Despite all the stories saying that players would be allowed to return to work, I am still locked out of Gillette Stadium. Get in touch with me if you want a tape or an interview, or send B-Lo and the film crew if you want footage of me being roughed up by security. Also, Andy said something Tuesday about how the only thing missing from the Vinatieri Walter snowball kick is that it's not cold. I think we all know what's really missing from that exhibit. Hey, Brian Morey, check the tape. The ref didn't put the ball down on a tee for the field goal attempt. I think it's about time that some credit was given to yours truly. And, Paul, please insert long snapper's name here. Lastly, it's been a while since I've written. I wanted to send a belated congratulations to Mike Vrabel on his retirement. Sorry about that misunderstanding at the casino, Vrabes. I really thought those beers were paid for. Oops, here comes security. Got to run.
That's true. He's not doing anything. They could just hire him to be a live participant in the exhibit here at the hall.
Ken Walter from Lot 4.
That'd be cool.
So,
and he can, like, blow cold air on you.
Juan from Texas wants to know what we think of Reggie Bush going to Miami. Does that scare us at all?
A little bit. That helps them.
It's a good move for Miami.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if they can get a quarterback, they might be a little more dangerous.
Now, did they get Orton? Or?
Not yet.
Not yet?
But it scares me a little bit in that they've had success with the, I'm drawing a blank, slot receiver guy the Patriots don't really like to cover.
Savon Bess.
Bess and Bush gives them a Patriots-like underneath kind of combo that could give this team trouble in the middle of the field.
We talked a lot about Ronnie Brown on Tuesday. Well, Reggie Bush is a lot more explosive than Ronnie Brown, certainly at this stage of his career. And every bit the pass receiver that Ronnie Brown is, probably more so. So, yeah, I think it improves them. And if the Orton thing comes to fruition, I don't think Orton's a star, but he's a better quarterback, in my opinion, than Chad Henne.
No question.
I just don't think, you know, a lot of people I've heard say the Dolphins are a 10-win team with Orton and whatnot, and maybe they are, I don't know, but I don't look at the Dolphins as a team with all the pieces in place that's missing a quarterback. I think they're missing a quarterback, and that certainly stunts your growth, but I don't think that they are very good defensively, for example. I think they have some individual players, Cameron Wake, and whatnot, but I don't think they are a great defensive team that is missing a quarterback. I don't think they're a great defensive team that is hung out to dry by ineptitude on offense. I think they could be good, and I think they are mentally tough, as I said on Tuesday, with their coach, Sperano, but I don't look at them as a big threat. Now, maybe we'll be wrong. Maybe they'll make some moves and they'll work out. But
they're not one or two players away.
I don't think they are. Yeah.
I don't.
You guys?
I think I agree with you. Yeah.
Andy, what do you think? I mean, do you think that the Dolphins are a quarterback away from being a solid playoff team?
No. Certainly
Freddie?
Not in this division.
They're a quarterback away from being competitive.
I mean, they can beat you. Listen, Miami is not an easy game. I don't pencil in wins against Miami like I do against Buffalo, for example. Miami, I think, is far superior to Buffalo. But I don't think they're a threat to factor into the mix in a three-way race with the Jets and Pats.
No, I don't either. But it does help them. Having Bush
helps. Yeah, it's a good move, no question.
He's giggling because I said having Bush helps them.
Would help you, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
You wouldn't be such a cranky bastard all the time.
Garrett in Georgia says that Jason Lockenfora says that this is a steal, the Haynesworth deal, and Haynesworth could be replacing Seymour. He wants to know if we agree with that.
I believe that's what he will do.
So
now, very different in that Richard Seymour was, you know, a leader, a professional, you know, all those good things that Albert Haynesworth is not. But I do think he has some of that freakish athletic ability that Seymour had. I mean, there's only so many guys 315 and above on the planet Earth that can do the things that those two guys are capable of doing.
Agreed.
A lot of people sending in emails, you know, what if he doesn't work out? Aren't the Patriots still in need of, you know, defensive help there if he doesn't work out? You know, should they still be going after guys despite having signed? Or,
on the D-line, you mean?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if Stroud is gone and he doesn't work out.
Let's say front seven.
Yeah, I'm concerned. Yeah, I don't think you have enough
bodies. When Stroud signed, people were saying, oh, this potentially beefs up their defensive line, and they had a lot of injuries last year.
They have a lot of guys that gained experience last year that I'm okay being the fourth, fifth, sixth guy.
Right.
I don't want to count on any.
No.
I don't want to count on Brace. I don't want to count on Pryor. I don't want to count on Dedrick or any of these guys. So, yeah, but is Gerard Warren still out there? I mean, he could be a late emergency signing if you need it.
He's still out there. Zach from Waltham has a different spin on Asamoah. He says why we want the Jets to sign Asamoah. As a division rival we face twice during the year, the Jets serve two functions, one bad and one good. The bad one is what the signing, they'd become a team that could end our season as they did last year. The good one is that they would serve as an excellent gauge of where we stand as a team. Remember our division in 2007, it was awful. Nor was our overall strength of schedule all that grueling based on our opponent's win-loss record that year. Playing weak teams during the regular season may make it easier to get to the playoffs, but it also conditions your team to expect cupcakes. I know Belichick and Brady allegedly never underestimate an opponent, but sometimes, no matter how much humble pie you eat, you're never full. Strength is born through struggle, and cupcakes just make you fat. Strong opposition will help build this team for a good postseason run. Well, it's one way to look at it.
What year was he saying?
07. Wasn't a good schedule.
Maybe the most difficult schedule they've had since Belichick has been here, I think. I think that was a ridiculously hard schedule. It made going 18-0 all the more impressive.
Although I would say that at that point, the AFC East was much more of a pushover than it
is. The AFC East wasn't as strong in terms of the Jets as they are now, no question, but they played everybody. They played San Diego. They played Indianapolis. They played the NFC East that year, if you recall.
Yep.
Dallas at Dallas. 13-3 team. The Giants they played, they ended up playing them twice. They ended up playing San Diego twice. It was a ridiculously hard road they had. Philadelphia Eagles they played that season as well. I don't think they played cupcakes that year. 2008 they played cupcakes.
Freddie, I think I tracked down the tweet you were referring to.
Yep.
Jared Page retweeted something from a fan that said, good luck on the Pats signing you. I think the guy meant, we want to see you back. Good luck on getting them to sign you.
Oh, so it was sarcastic.
Yeah. No.
I think he was wishing him
luck. I think
the guy
was saying, I hope the Patriots sign you. Good luck.
Oh, but it was for real.
But it wasn't saying it's done. It's good luck on them signing you.
I think Fred's still confused.
You just channeled my youngest son, TJ, right there. Oh.
Maybe he shouldn't be retweeting and using Twitter for a lot.
Yeah.
Happy John from North Carolina writes in, Paul, were you joking about Belichick being so stubborn about outside linebackers because everyone is forcing the issue? I really think there's a lot to this thought, and it fits his personality. I know that is how I am. I love to bite off my nose just to piss off people. I think Belichick.
Yeah, I was being a little facetious.
Yeah. A lot of people still writing in that the Patriots should get Randy Moss. What do you guys think?
No.
No.
I don't want any part of Randy Moss. Matter of fact, I hope the Jets sign him because I think that'll hurt the team, the Jets.
Was in town last week, though, having lunch with Vince Wilfork on Monday in the inside track.
Well, he still owns a home, I guess, in the area.
In Rhode Island?
In Rhode Island, yeah.
We got a 60-40 split right now. 60% of the fans don't want Moss back.
No,
we
don't. No.
So 6-1 back, 4-0.
The door's closed on him.
What?
Brian writes in, I'm a Pats fan as well as a Raiders fan. I believe Al will go for a late push on Nnamdi. They are looking to re-sign Cameron Wimbley, and it's rumored that the way the Raiders are going to sign Wimbley, I don't know for how much, will free up about $12 million of cap space. It's rumored, though, and Hugh has said he has talked with Nnamdi, so we may see a late push for Nnamdi, either that or they will sign Jared Gaither or
Golson. Is this Albert Breer?
Hugh and Nnamdi, and we're going to late push for Al. And
can we use last names here?
Anyway, that's Brian, a Raiders fan, so maybe.
The Raiders.
That brings me back to somebody brought up Manny Lawson earlier, and I posted a thing on the blog talking about how he's a great edge setter and athlete in space, not a great pass rusher. That kind of leads me to believe he has the versatility Bill would like. Also got a little scouting report on him from someone who would know and said he was actually just about to literally become that pass rusher, seemed like he was, and then he blew out his knee a few years back. And so he's never really developed into a first-round caliber pass rusher, but is a great locker room guy, hard worker, versatile. So he sounds like he could be a Patriot, quote-unquote, type player.
Who's this, Manny Lawson?
Manny Lawson, yes. Correct.
Manny Ramirez. Josh from Waterloo.
Ted Lawson.
Josh from Waterloo says, hey, football experts and Eric, first I will go on the record to say that I do not like Haynesworth as a person. I have no respect for him after the cleating of the Cowboy. I may like what he does on the field, but that will remain to be seen. Second, in something seven, maybe August, I don't know what, aught seven?
Aught seven, 2007.
Oh, is that what that is? A-U-T?
Yeah, the aughts. That's the years that have the zero in front of them.
In '07,
you ought know that.
Yeah. In '07, I walked. Can it just say 2007? Does he have
yeah,
to get
you,
all?
Yeah, you could if you didn't want to be like Eric. Yes,
right. In '07, I walked.
Who used dearth on the blog that bothered some people this morning? By the way,
I don't care if it bothered them or not.
Use the word dearth. That's not a bad word. That's
not a bad.
It's not a bad word. No,
no. I wouldn't yell at my kids for using that word.
And I also don't think it's all that high on the intellectual ladder.
Yeah, it isn't.
I think that's a pretty common word.
Right.
Plus, your favorite character is Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. Second, in '07, once as Josh, I walked around the house saying, with excitement, we signed Adalis Thomas. Then after the draft, I walked around the house saying, with trepidation, we signed Randy Moss? Question mark. We know how that worked out. I still have a 96 Thomas jersey for sale if anyone is interested, but now I'm filled with the same trepidation about Haynesworth. Do you guys and Eric think during the extended season, Bill finally got the balls to watch the game that shall not be named and said, screw it. They did that to us with a four-man front. I'll do the same to everyone else.
No.
No.
But it led me to a question.
No, I agree with Andy. I think that they will continue to have a 3-4 base defense, and all the other stuff I think is they talk about the base defense and the 52 to 48% of the time and all that stuff, but I agree totally with Andy. Just because a guy lines up and puts his hand on the ground doesn't mean that you're suddenly in a four-man front right. or a five-man front. Your principles of defense remain the same. Bill has said this time and time again. They run that their system is based on two-gapping
That's the issue, by the way.
And that's
because he's been more of a one-gap
yes,
player.
Whether it's
a four-man front, five-man front,
one-man
front.
Do you think that's going to change?
No.
I don't either.
And I think that's the issue. Now, I personally believe if he wants to two-gap, he'll two-gap. Now, I don't know if he will.
Oh, I believe he has the ability to do. Is that what you're...
Yeah.
I think the guy is immensely gifted. It's all about what he wants to do.
That's the issue. Does he want to just shoot the gap, or does he want to control an offensive lineman?
Yeah, I agree with you.
So, that's the issue more than who's lining up where and how much and blah, blah,
I just think we get too tied up, and Bill has said this also. We get too tied up to going out there and saying, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, they play a 4-3 now.
Right.
You know, because the first preseason game, they line up, and they have four guys on the first play of the game with they switch to a 4-3. Well,
plus you get the unders and your overs.
Yeah, and I'm not going to pretend to understand all of that stuff and what the thing. I'm just going by what Bill has told us in the past and in the present, and that's what the principles of his defense are. And I just don't see him saying, "Well, now I have Albert Haynesworth, so I'm going to completely change everything that I've done for the past 30 years as a defensive coach." I don't see that happening.
I have a question, though, for Patriots fans. If you were, say, a cheap Patriots fan, like Chris Ferreira, for example.
You mean cheap in real life or cheap as a fan for the team?
No, cheap with your money. Cheap.
Your own money or the team's money?
Oh, for Christ's sakes. Cheap.
If you were a cheap Patriots fan.
Would you go to Redskins.com and buy one of their $9.95 Haynesworth jerseys and then wear that here and be like, oh, the new player, I get his jersey, rather than having to spend $100 or whatever to get a Haynesworth
not
jersey?
Not if you're a true fan. You cannot wear another team's colors.
Okay. Just asking.
End of story.
Okay. I'm not a cheap Patriots fan.
Omar,
you're neither.
Omar writes in, I'm glad
cheap,
Bill Belichick.
Nor a Patriots fan.
I'm pretty cheap.
I'm glad Bill Belichick acquired Albert Haynesworth. Our D will be stronger with him. Big Vince will still want to be the man and will put on better numbers by feeling the pressure. Opposing QBs will have less time to throw and teams won't run the ball on us. What pass rusher do you see us getting? Because we still need an outside pass rusher. How about a need at wide receiver? Do you see anyone helping Brady stretch the field? Other than that, around the NFL, weird things happen. I think Ravens cutting Todd Heap is a dumb move. He was their best tight end ever. The Jets wanting to sign Asamoah.
That's the reasoning?
He was their best tight end ever.
Sharp was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. But he was only there for like a
no, but
so what
year.
Does that
the
mean?
Point
they
is,
they've had three tight ends in their history.
Right.
He was the best.
Like, you got to move on at some point. Just because the guy was the greatest ever for you, you
I
have
like
to move
Todd,
on.
I like Todd Heap. He's never really shown the ability to stay healthy.
Right.
And I'm sure that's a big part of the
and
reason
And he was
why
making money.
He's gone.
The Jets wanting to sign Asamoah for millions and ignoring wide receiver Braylon Edwards is a mistake. Asamoah is overrated, and that is why the Raiders
so
are letting
Braylon
him go.
Edwards.
Titans, why would you sign Hasselbeck when you drafted Jake Locker with your first-round pick?
It's insurance.
The Vikings need a better QB than McNabb. Again, when you draft Christian Ponder with your first round, paying him big bucks,
this guy's a bit of
why
a
leave him on the bench and get McNabb? Too bad Sidney Rice chased money over his career by going to a team like the Seahawks. Take less money, buddy, and sign with the real pros, the Patriots. Dolphins acquired Dolphins acquired Reggie Bush for 2 years. Good move, Miami. Finally, the Broncos letting go a throwing quarterback like Orton to start Tebow is super dumb.
I like this guy now.
I thought you said you had a million emails today.
Who was that?
I do.
Really need someone's evaluation of every single transaction that's taken place in the last 48
hours.
It's
a new name. I hadn't seen him. You know, I'm asking
old
email us to step aside. Let's bring in some. Paul gets that. It's a Teddy Sarandis joke.
That was a Mully.
Is
it a border war between the Seahawks and the Vikings? Seems like they just go back and forth often.
That started with the Steve Hutchinson.
No, I know, but
I don't think it's ever subsided.
But
there's been a lot of guys that have gone back and forth. Nate Burleson,
Pete Carroll took over, and there's so much change, and yet it's like Patriots Jets. Doesn't matter that the front office has changed some or this has changed. It just keeps going back and forth. I find it fascinating.
It's not about the money, Dale.
Fascinating.
Let's go to this call is from actually France. This is Umar from France. Hey, Umar.
Stinks.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
All right. So sounds like you just read my email.
Oh, was that you? Because you spelled your name differently in the email than what's on the screen. So,
so I'm not a fraud, I called you a douche when we read your email.
Well, I just want to know you left out the acquisition of Alindo Mare. I think you touched on every other acquisition. Did we miss that one?
Yeah, I forgot that one.
Okay, so what do you have to say?
So what do you?
I'm actually calling about Randy Moss. What do you guys think if we acquire Randy Moss? Would it be a good player for us, because we need someone to stretch the field and someone that knows the offense? So would you want to have Randy back, yes or no?
No.
I think we're all sort of in unison about that. We've kind of
Taylor Price.
Yeah, I think it's time to just move on from Randy. It's just we know what Randy can do, and it's not enough at this point. It's not enough to bring him in to do that once or twice in a game.
Plus, we have our malcontent for the year.
If I thought he could do it once or twice a game, I'd be interested. I don't think he can.
But, I don't, I think he could if he wanted to.
I think
it would
take you five or six cracks to do it once or twice
a
game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. So.
Oh, but do you still think that we need another wide receiver?
Oh, yes. God, yes.
Yes.
See.
Yes, we do.
We.
we need someone on the outside, to do exactly what you said, to stretch the field. And, we'll see. Taylor Price could be that guy.
Could be. I'm holding out hope.
We do like Taylor Price.
But
he's our new Matt Roth.
I still would like to see a veteran.
Ocho Cinco.
Ocho Cinco
I'd
be fine with.
Yeah.
If he's on the open market, I probably wouldn't want to trade for him, because I think he has a big contract and I wouldn't want to give up. But if he hits the open market and really wants to come be epic, be Pepe and be epic, I'd take him.
Now,
he's It's just so in need of help.
Does Ocho Cinco still have the ability to stretch the field?
That's a question.
You know?
Well, first of all, he was never
a great
field stretcher.
Right.
He was a well-rounded receiver, goes over the middle, makes some great catches.
Right.
But now the question is, have his skills tailed off beyond the question of, you know, everybody says he cares more about the brand than playing football. He's more into everything else that goes with
it. I think part of that is because he was with the Bengals.
And he was
he
in
just
a lockout.
Figured, what the hell? I don't really care
anymore.
But I also
think people are holding the lockout against him, too, because he did the soccer, because he did the bull, because he did the NASCAR, all that.
If he were on a team that had a legitimate chance to win a title, I think he would take it seriously. I think he loves football.
Well, if Bill signs him,
it was this team.
He got the feeling that he cares about football.
Yes.
Because he's told us before he always thought that football meant a lot to Ocho Cinco.
Yes.
So if he brings him aboard, it means he's comfortable feeling like this guy's motivated, he wants to play football.
And you might not get the Moss type stats of 07, but you would get, what's the matter?
I was looking today, Junior.
No, but you might get
Sidney Hart would have said, spit it out.
Trying to, but you won't shut up.
Sorry.
You might get the best that you've ever gotten out of Ocho Cinco if he comes here late in his career, kind of like Moss did in 07.
If he can still play.
If he can still play.
I still, you know, he obviously played in the spotlight behind T.O. last year. T.O. had the big year in Cincinnati.
I
blame Carson Palmer. I think Carson Palmer stinks. I think he hasn't been the same.
You don't agree with
years.
Felger's assessment of that the Bengals just drove their suck into him?
No, I think he just sucks.
It's hard to argue with that.
Okay, guys, so how about a pass rusher? Who do you see us get?
Manny Lawson is our latest PFW favorite. He has slightly surpassed Matt Roth in the race of elite pass rushers who have never had more than 5 sacks in their career.
Okay, because I don't think there's a whole lot left.
Nope. Not unless they go the Tom Bailey route. You know, the trade, money, big investment, all that.
Would certainly be a Patriots-like move.
I got to tell you,
to give a guy about $50 million and forfeit two first-round picks.
Well, it's funny
I'm
we...
I'm being sarcastic.
I know, but it's funny we say that. The only place Bill has ever done it, really, is outside linebacker for Colvin and Thomas are his two biggest moves via free agency. So it wouldn't necessarily be totally out of whack.
But this is a big one. This
well,
is,
you know, Thomas was pretty big. $35 million,
it
a lot of
was,
money now.
It
but
was.
Now add two first-round picks.
Right. Well,
and
I don't think it would be
$20 million.
I think it would be a late first... And maybe something else. You could give
imagine,
him a Saints
though,
pick and something else.
Can you imagine
else.
If Haynesworth works out, they got Ali, and he worked out,
right.
His defense would be...
Well, you can start raping
I'm
and pillaging.
Swear right
you
now.
Could rape
gonna,
and pillage again.
Right.
You could be on a quest.
I'm back to taking manhood. Absolutely.
Not the way Eric takes manhood, right?
Oh, for God's sakes.
All right, guys. Hey,
all right, thank you for
thanks
calling
for the call.
In.
Hey, oui, Pepe Le Pew.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Au revoir.
Oui, oui, s'il vous plaît, passe à Siki. I don't know what that was.
What the hell is that? I have a question for you.
People say the French aren't nice or something. He seemed really nice.
He was very nice.
You called him a French. You called him a French,
well,
a French word.
I didn't
want to
be a fraud. That's a French word?
Douche.
Douche?
Yes.
I said it during his email. I wanted to be upfront and say it when he was here.
Yeah, I teased him, so I want to tease him to
be
his
a man.
Face.
That's what it's. Man, Eric. I'm a man.
You know, he has hair in his chest.
You know, here's a fear that just occurred to me. You know,
in my ears lately.
Belichick,
way,
in
shower.
Belichick mentioned that he talked to Shanahan last night about the trade. So
he did.
Obviously, you know, they agreed on a fifth round pick, 2013. Has he talked to Haynesworth?
Yeah, he was asked that question, and then he went back into Bill
and he wouldn't answer it, right?
You know, so what if like okay, they agreed on the terms of trade, and Haynesworth says, "I don't want to play there." You know, because I know if I go there, there's no leeway.
He's going to make me play two gap, and
right.
I don't want to do that. That's a possibility.
My guess is for it to get as public as it's become, with Bill actually bringing it up himself, they've gone down that road.
I can't possibly imagine he hasn't spoken to Haynesworth yet.
All right.
Or somebody with the Patriots hasn't spoken to Haynesworth yet.
Okay.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to knock down that contract number.
Oh, I would think it'll
that's
be
a
altered.
Lot of money to me.
Right.
I know everybody thinks they're getting him on the cheap. Well, comparatively speaking, yes, based on what Washington paid him, but $5+ million a year base salary is not cheap.
My guess is it goes down to like 2, and he can get the 3.5 if he's on the roster in March or something, and some way that if we continue this relationship.
Agree.
Yeah, but why bother doing it? I mean, if he gets it, if he's on the roster, he's gonna get it anyway. So why bother redoing it?
No, next year.
Next year.
Move it to
okay.
Some money for next March, a roster bonus, something
right.
That if we continue this relationship, you get all the money you would have gotten last
year. And maybe a little bit more.
And maybe
for
whatever.
The trouble.
Yeah,
right.
Adjust.
Speaking of roster bonuses and the like, there was a lot made of Santonio Holmes' contract. 5 years, $50 million.
Is it not
with 24.
As big as
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know, but I have a question to ask you. $24 million guaranteed was the report, correct?
Sure.
The urine stream, Fred's favorite, the jet stream.
Tore his ACL, you know.
Oh, he did? This guy?
The urine stream, not Holmes.
Yeah, no, yeah. Manish or whatever.
Manish Amika, yeah. Whatever.
He says more details on the contract. Cap for 11 looks to be 3.25, which is a little higher than it was reported yesterday at 2.45. But he says 6.25 signing bonus, $1 million roster bonus, $1 million base salary. Where is the guarantee? That's 8.25 million.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get from 8.25 to 24 guaranteed?
16.5.
But
I don't know.
Yeah, but see nowadays
I'm wondering if it truly is a $24 million guarantee,
right?
Or if this is one of those that the writers
right.
all say,
right.
Well, the first 3 years are $24 million, so that's guaranteed.
Right. And
and
a lot of people are calling roster bonus these days guaranteed money, but if they're a roster bonus for subsequent years, it's really not.
No, but there's
no,
some
but
of
my,
those...
My guess is this is a roster bonus for this year.
That if certain things are picked
no, but
up...
but maybe in subsequent years he also has roster bonuses.
Oh, no, I agree. That's my point. Right. I think they look at that and they say, well, there's no way they're going to cut him, so that's guaranteed.
Right.
That's not guaranteed.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know specifically what they did.
In fact, when you have those big roster bonuses late in your contract, it gets you... It's more perilous for you. Because that's more of an incentive to cut you.
Get you the hell out,
right?
Yeah, no question.
You know, you see so many times, oh, the guy was due a roster bonus, so they got rid of him. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We got practice coming up in 30 minutes. You guys doing a training camp podcast at the end of the day.
Yep.
Patriots today, a lot of stuff going on, patriots.com.
Blog,
sorry if you can't load the page because it's too slow, but
it's a lot of stuff on there.
Get a better connection. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.